Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Councilmember Kelly.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
All present. I'm sorry. 5-0. Motion passes.
Thank you. We're going to begin with one presentation. Glad to have John Neal here from the Atascadero Mutual Water Company giving us an update on the water issues. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. And this is going to be the nicest slide that you see all evening. This is the prettiest one in the bunch. I'm an engineer, so what you're going to see after this is an extravaganza of charts and graphs that show our conservation efforts, how successful we've been, and the status of our water resources. Especially, this is the fourth year of a very significant drought that most of us are aware of. So I'll see if I can get the technology working here. What I'm going to cover tonight are our water resources, and there are three primary water resources that Atascadero Mutual uses to serve the community. The first one is the Salinas River underflow. The second is the water that's stored in the Paso Robles formation of the Atascadero Basin, and I'll draw a pretty clear distinction on why that's important. And then the third one is our most recent, which is water from the Nacimiento Water Project. I'll review our water demand and conservation efforts, especially in light of the governor's mandate and declaration that we conserve water. And then I'll just touch briefly on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. I'll try to get through this relatively quickly and then answer any questions you may have, because I know that some of you have already seen this presentation at some level. The first is just touching on water resources. Here's a stylized cross-section of the Atascadero groundwater basin. The underflow, which I mentioned, is the water that moves in the sands and gravels of the Salinas River. That is considered a surface water by the state Department of Water Resources. So it's treated differently than water that's in the basin itself. Water pumped from that zone does not affect groundwater storage. In a typical year, over half the Atascadero Mutual's water supply comes from that Salinas River underflow. That's separated from the Paso Robles formation by a clay layer that's about 60 feet thick. And in that Paso Robles formation, that's actually the stored water. So if we don't pump that water, it resides there until we use it. You'll see in some slides later on that a lot of the issues that they're facing in Paso Robles deal with that stored water in the Paso Robles formation. Our water, main water resource is rainfall. And here's 100 years of rainfall data. We've had a rain gauge at the confluence of the Salinas River and Atascadero Creek for almost 100 years. You can see there's pretty much a pattern there. You get two or three wet years, and then three or four dry years. We are in a historic drought. These are the four driest years in our 100-year history. What's going to be interesting is to see how that rainfall affects groundwater levels in the Paso Robles formation. And that's what this chart is trying to show you. You can see this is from 1992 to current. You can see how water levels, which are the blue line, vary with rainfall. And that's cumulative rainfall that's shown in red. So we get a high rainfall year, water levels come up. They can come up as much as 12 feet below the ground surface. In a year like this, where we have successive dry years in a row, we actually started out our main pumping season at 90 feet below the ground surface. It's about the lowest I've ever seen it. What's going to be interesting, though, is to see the impact that Nacimiento water had on making these groundwater levels come up and basically filling the basin back up. Just to zero in on current groundwater levels, this is last year. Groundwater levels, again, feet below ground surface. On January 1st of last year, it was about 40 feet below the ground surface. And then on December 1st, it was almost 100 feet below ground surface. Here's this year, starting in January. Again, about 100 feet below the groundwater surface. What's interesting to note on this slide is on April 1st is when we began taking water from the Nacimiento Water Project. And so you can see what happened to groundwater levels. Now, this particular well is just north of our main well field, which is east of the Lakes subdivision, if you're familiar with it. If you would go off the end of Chico Road to the river, this well resides right there. And it really gauges the health of the Atascadero Basin in the vicinity of our main well field. But we're really pleased with the way Nacimiento Water filled the basin back up in that area. In fact, I update this chart weekly. Well levels are still going up, even though we're taking less and less Nacimiento water now that we're getting later into the season. And just for comparison, I overlaid the two to show last year's water levels compared to this year's. So we're very fortunate. It'll only take a moderate amount of rain this year to replenish the aquifer where the community gets its primary source of water. So we're real pleased with the way the Nacimiento Water Project is working for us. Here's a picture of our recharge basin. If you haven't seen it, I'd be happy to give you a tour and show you our facilities down there. But it's a very simple system. We take water from the Lake Nacimiento. It's piped in the area of our well field. We discharge it into the alluvium of the Salinas River, and it percolates into the ground. And as it percolates through the sands and gravel, it basically treats the water. So by the time it gets to our wells, all we have to do is chlorinate it and send it off to our shareholders. So again, a very simple system, but it's a very elegant and a very effective system. It takes about 10 days for the water from this pond to reach our nearest well, which is about 400 feet away. And what we've done is we've surrounded this pond with wells, and the water moves from this mound of groundwater that we created towards the cones of depression at each of the wells. And we estimate our recovery rates are somewhere about 80 to 85%. Now, this year, we took more Nacimiento water than we had subscribed for. The Atascadero Mutual Water Company originally subscribed for 2,000 acre feet a year. But because the project did not deliver water last year, the water company decided, well, let's take an additional 1,000 acre feet. We knew groundwater levels were depressed because of pumping last year. Let's see how this thing really functions in a stress situation. And again, you saw the results on the preceding slides. Currently, the water company and the other subscribers to the Nacimiento Water Project, which is Paso Robles, Templeton Community Service District, and the City of San Luis Obispo, are looking to reallocate what's called the reserve capacity water in the Nacimiento Water Project. And essentially what that means is the water company will get an additional 1,200 acre feet a year for no additional capital cost. We've already paid for the pipeline to convey the full capacity or full allocation out of Lake Nacimiento. All we're doing is changing the ledger, so to speak. We're not incurring any more debt. We're already paying the cost of this project. So we could potentially end up with 3,200 acre feet of water a year from the Nacimiento Water Project, which is a real bonus for our water portfolio. As far as conservation this year, the governor mandated that Atascadero achieve a 28% reduction in water use. I actually protested this decision. I pointed out to the State Water Resource Control Board that Atascadero is a different animal. Our average lot size in our service area is an acre and a half. We're a large rural lot subdivision. You can't compare us to a more urban area like the city of San Luis Obispo. We have people with gardens and vineyards and horses and livestock, and just applying an urban water use factor on Atascadero just really didn't make sense. But it didn't get very far with the state. They said, we don't care. We want to see a 28% reduction. I also explained to them that we had a supplemental water source from Lake Nacimiento, and we're not completely relying on groundwater in this time of drought, and I explained how reliable that lake is. For example, this year, even though we only got 10 inches of rain, 60,000 acre feet of water flowed into Nacimiento Lake, which is four times what the Nacimiento Water Project can deliver. But again, it fell on deaf ears. Fortunately, our shareholders stepped up to the plate. We asked them to conserve, and with very little input on our part, everybody did. You can see our conservation goals were exceeded April through August, almost 40% in July, the lowest July since the early 70s as far as water production. The unfortunate thing about this is if you look at a curve of our revenue stream, we had a 40% reduction in revenue in July. Fortunately, our water rate structure can absorb some of that, but it can't go on forever. And I don't expect water use to rebound like it was prior to the drought. It just doesn't work that way. Here's a graphical representation of the water reduction. The uppermost curve is water production in 2013, and that's what our conservation goal is measured against. So the state was looking for a 28% reduction from the 2013 levels. Immediately below that is our water production in 2014. Our board in February of 2014 declared a water shortage condition, stage two, and we advised our shareholders of that, and they reduced water use by about 15%. The state then came in behind us and mandated the higher level of conservation, and that's what you see on the bottommost curve. And again, if you looked at our revenue, it follows a very similar pattern. So who's using the water? In Atascadero, 78% of the water is used by single-family residential. So if you see any adjustments to water rates, those type of things, we usually focus on that group. And primarily because they have the largest discretion in their water use. They can cut their outdoor water use more than, say, a commercial enterprise can control their water use. A lot of those demands are fixed or hardened in a commercial setting. You can see parks and landscape, which would include the city parks, use a very small percentage of the water. And industrial, we have very little industrial use in our service area. We do a rate comparison every year. We go to each water purveyor in the county. We ask them what their current rates are. We share this information with them. On a per unit basis, Atascadero has the lowest water rates in the county. And this is based on average water bills, because a lot of water purveyors have a tiered rate structure, and so you have to base it on an average billing. You can see the city of San Luis has by far the highest unit cost. As far as average water bill, again, different entities use more or less water. Atascadero customers tend to be high water users, again, primarily because of the large lot nature of our community. But they also pay a per unit cost that's somewhat less. So the average water bill in our service area is about $39 a month. This leads into the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. In September of last year, the state said, we're having a drought issue. Groundwater levels in much of the state are in a state of decline. We need to manage this resource sustainably. So in September, they said they passed new legislation that said that we have to form what are called groundwater sustainability agencies over these recognized groundwater basins, the Atascadero Basin being one of them, and they have to develop groundwater sustainability plans that show, basically tell the state what steps you're going to take to manage this resource in a manner that will be sustainable. I argue that we're already doing that. We started this process back in 1990 at the water company, at the last significant drought. We recognized that we could not continue pumping the way we were and have this resource be sustainable. So we made significant changes in our operations. We hired our first full-time conservation manager. We started educating our shareholders that, you know, this is a limited resource, help us conserve it. And even though the population in Atascadero has increased, we're pumping in more or less at the same levels we were in the early 1980s. And this year, we're pumping in the 1970 levels because of the heightened conservation standard. The groundwater was sustainable in the Atascadero Basin before bringing Nacimiento water into the picture. So I foresee that moving forward, We're in pretty good shape with conforming to what the state legislation is going to require of us. Atascadero Mutual and the Templeton Community Services District are taking a lead in forming a groundwater sustainability agency in the basin. We were successful in convincing the county that the Atascadero Basin should be separated from the Paso Robles Basin in their planning efforts through the LAFCO process and the formation of the Paso Robles Groundwater District. Excuse me. The LAFCO just recently approved moving forward with that application. They're going to put it out to the vote of the residents in the proposed district. Those proposed district boundaries do exclude the Atascadero Basin. We still have a lot of work ahead of us. We have to get the entities that pull water from the Atascadero Basin to coalesce into this groundwater sustainability agency, and we're currently working on those efforts. This is a projection. This is from one of the published county reports. This is from their most recent groundwater model update. You probably saw a version of this in the newspaper 2 years ago. This is what really heightened everybody's awareness that we may have problems with the water resources in North County. This is sometimes referred to as the red zone map. But this map shows what groundwater levels will look like in 40 years based on a 1% growth increase. So what they're showing you, and I'll see if I can show this with a pointer, we have the Rinconada Fault that separates the Atascadero Basin from the main Paso Robles Basin. And you can see out here on the Highway 46 East, groundwater levels are continuing to decline. And this is in addition to the levels that exist, the level of decline they see today. So this is well over 100 feet in reduction in groundwater levels. You can see in the Atascadero Basin, they're actually predicting that groundwater levels will increase. And that's basically what we've been seeing at the water company. Here's what's called a composite hydrograph of well levels in the Atascadero Basin from 1981 to the present. And you can see on the top that groundwater levels are basically stable. The bottom chart is rainfall, and you can see how well that the groundwater levels respond to rainfall in the Atascadero Basin. And then you contrast this with what's happening out on Highway 46 East, and you can see that steady decline regardless of what's happening with the rainfall. So again, from a water resource standpoint, with nice amount of water and our ability to manage how we pump the water and the willingness of our shareholders to step up and conserve when they need to, I think we're operating in the Atascadero Basin in a very sustainable manner. Again, I have really positive things to say about the way the Nace Meno project has been working for us. Hopefully we don't have any hiccups like we did last year, where a hole developed in the pipeline underneath the Nace Meno River. Again, I think that was a construction flaw that has since been remedied. And so we look forward to continuous deliveries of that water resource when we need it. And with that, that concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. And I know that was the condensed version of the information you have on this. We do, as a city council, appreciate the water company and your expertise, and have obviously done a good job through a tough time. Council questions.
Yes.
Go ahead, Roberta.
There we go. Sorry. I appreciate the report. Very good. I'm wondering what will happen if the governor keeps those conservation measures in place for years to come.
I saw an opening where he's going to consider some of the things that I brought forth in my protest letter, specifically supplemental water resources. So there's an opportunity there if he does continue the urgency ordinance. That we may get some consideration because of our water portfolio. From my planning perspective, I'm not going to count on it. I'm going to expect that he's going to require some heightened level of conservation into the future, because generally my experience is once they have an opportunity to control something, they will continue to control it.
Exactly. And so you said our revenues reflect, the amount that we're saving. And so if they put in place permanent laws, we're going to see our water rates go up, or what do you expect?
You will. I'm going to be very blunt about that. We look at that annually. We'll look at that in our next budget cycle, which our fiscal year ends April 30th. And we look at rates every year. We already had a 2.5% rate increase programmed in for next year. I would anticipate that'll likely be more. It won't be 38% or 30%. Again, our rate are structured in a manner that we can absorb some of these variations in water demand. But we'll look at it. We're fortunate we can adjust rates as we need to. I do a 5-year projection every year, and we can adjust them incrementally, and that makes a big difference. You basically get the compounding effect of those rate adjustments.
Very good. And help me to understand what that clay layer does. You said that there was the river water, the underflow, and then a clay layer, and then deeper groundwater. Is that clay layer impervious, so rain doesn't go through that? Or how does this work?
If you're a hydrogeologist, there's a thing called an aquitard, which actually prevents the water from migrating from one zone to the other. It's not that. It's more like a lenses of clay or layers of clay. And the water has to find its way down through there. So it takes a considerable amount of time for the water to work from the underflow into that Paso formation, but it does get in there. We're blessed with good geology here. And that, from about the Highway 41 bridge moving north to, I would say, Graves Creek, is one of those areas that recharges very quickly. E.G. Lewis, he did a very good job in citing the community, especially knowing what the formation looks like out there.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Councilman Moreno.
Thank you, John. I was wondering, the GSA that we're trying to form for the Atascadero sub-basin, how is that coming along, and what do you see as the timeline for that coming together?
Well, we have to have the GSA formed by January 2017. We just completed our brochure, a flyer that we're going to use for our initial outreach to primarily the rural residential people. Those are the people we need to get coalesced into an entity. Things we've sort of held off until we saw what was going to happen with the LAFCO hearings on the Paso District. We wanted to make sure that our boundary of that district aligned itself with what the county was proposing. Now that we have that information, we just finalized the brochure last week. We've developed a website, atascaderobasin.com. You'll see a lot of that information on there. And I'm just now going out to some key property owners in that area that I'm going to, basically, they're going to be people that are leading the outreach effort east of the river.
Okay. Thank you.
Other council questions? Well, I would like to say that I get to brag about our water company in other areas. I've spoken with the Home Builders Association countywide organization and our countywide mayor's meeting, and again, it's really an asset of our community. I know, speaking to one local business person who uses a fair amount of water and operates in a number of cities, he said his water bill is $600 a month in Atascadero, $6,000 a month in San Luis, similar business. So I think that gives us a competitive advantage, I think, in the future with businesses, because we also have the lowest cost wastewater treatment plant in the county, and you neglected to mention the correlation there, if you might.
I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that a groundwater sustainability plan is going to require is the use of reclaimed water. We're already doing that in Atascadero. The wastewater from the city is discharged into percolation basins, and about 1,500 acre-feet a year on average basically recharges the groundwater basin. So it's a significant use of that water. So in our case, in the city of San Luis Obispo's case, they had to basically create what they call the purple pipe, and they delivered reclaimed water throughout the city. Very expensive proposition. The reason they do that is because their wastewater stream, if they don't use it, flows out into the ocean. Here, just by default, it goes right back into the basin. We're already reclaiming that. There's no really purpose or need to create a whole purple pipe system to reclaim that water. It's already happening.
And we have a true natural ecosystem, and hopefully the governor can see that when you show the geology, and so that is an advantage we have. I would like to, unless there's other council questions, I want to, let's see if the public would like to ask any questions of John. Did you?
Do I need to go up and knock on the governor's door again?
Yeah. I would like to, and if we would have you come forward, we're just going to open it up as a public comment. And if you have a question here from the public, please just come up. John will step aside, ask your question, and this is a chance for John to address it because it's an opportunity to have him here.
Should I say my name?
Yes.
I'm Sky Raby. I live in San Luis Obispo, but I'm covering for the A-Town Daily News tonight. I was wondering, how many times did you say the rain recharged, that 10 inches recharged the Nacimiento project? It was 3 times as much or 4 times as much?
It was about 4 times as much.
4 times as much. Okay.
Thank you. And why don't you restate that in the mic?
The question was, we had 10 inches of rain last year, and that's as measured at our range gauge. Now, they may have had much more in the watershed for Nacimiento. So it's a relative thing, but it gives you some idea that less than average rainfall more than adequately fills Lake Nacimiento to allow it to deliver the full allotment the county has from the lake. The other thing, the county has the first draw off of Lake Nacimiento. So if there's only 15,750 acre feet that flow into the lake each year, the county of San Luis Obispo gets that, and the participants in the Nacimiento Water Project get it. Because it's the county's water, but they're supplying it to us being the participants in the Nacimiento Water Project. Another interesting thing, there's no carryover storage in Nacimiento Lake. So if we don't use the entire county allotment in the lake, the clock resets as of October 1st. And right now we're working with the, we're going to try to negotiate with Monterey County with a project they have in mind to try to get carryover storage for the county. So incidences like last year where we actually lost that water because the pipeline couldn't deliver it, maybe we can store some of that water in Nacimiento Lake and use it for our purposes.
Thank you. And also the Nacimiento Lake works like a storage tank above ground, and really our basin works like a below ground storage tank. It holds water year to year. If we don't use that resource, it will carry over in future.
That's certainly true for the water stored in the Paso Robles formation of the Atascadero Basin.
Yeah.
Now the alluvial water or that underflow water is different. If we don't use that, we lose it.
Right.
And pumping of that alluvial water doesn't affect storage. It may affect recharge, but it doesn't affect storage. So I think it's really important when you hear that a water purveyor like the water company is pumping 5,000 acre feet a year, realize that half of that or more than half of that is that underflow. If we didn't pump it, it would continue to flow north and end up in Moss Landing in the ocean.
Right. Thank you. Any last? Bob?
Yeah, John, I think, I'm sorry.
Did you have a question for Mr. Neal? Welcome. State your name.
Hi, I'm Annette Carlin. First place, that was a fascinating talk. Is this available online so that my husband can look at all those graphs? I mean, that's wonderful to know what y'all are doing.
The answer is yes.
Good. The second thing is, do you give those tours only to the city council? I love industrial tours. They're great. We can come over?
I'm very proud of it.
Okay.
I'm very proud of our facilities. And if I can get a group of 10 to 20 people, I'll schedule a tour, and I'll spend a couple hours down at the well field. I'll show you the recharge facilities. I'll show you our wells. I mean, we've come a long way in the last 20 years at the water company as far as the facilities. And I like to say, and some people may argue with me, but I think we have the best maintained water system in the county. It's a very large water system, 240 miles of water main, almost 2,000 fire hydrants, 3,000 valves, 10,500 service connections. And all of our efforts are put into maintaining that asset of our shareholders. New development basically designs and constructs any main extensions. We take it over for operation and maintenance. But we're aggressive. Our whole capital improvement program is out there aggressively maintaining that system and replacing it. All of our booster stations have been rebuilt in the last 5 years. All of our tanks have been rehabilitated within the last 7 years. There's very few water entities in the county that can boast like them. So.
Thank you. I think we have one last question from Councilman Kelly.
Yeah, John, I'd like to compliment you on that report and actually the great job that you do for the water company and all of your employees and everything. I think at times we take it for granted, but with the drought situation, it's really come to our attention how fortunate we are. I think at one time, I think you were the one that stated that the water in Atascadero, if we get 14 inches of rain a year, that's the sustainability number. Could you comment on that?
And this is a historic drought situation. So this year, I estimate about 13 inches of rain on average seems to fill the aquifer up. And the way you can tell that the aquifer is full is if you see a little thread of water down the river, flowing down a river, the basin is recharging as much as it can. That alluvium is saturated. The water is migrating down into that Paso Robles formation as much as it can. And that's just something I've observed over the years. And you can see that in that one chart that I have that shows rainfall and well levels. You can see how even with less than average rainfall, which is about 17 and a half inches where I measure it, groundwater levels come back up to their typical high patterns. So,
great. One other question. I think I read one of the newspapers or something about the new red tank that is up on the top of some hill here in town for the helicopters to dip into. Is that something that the water company is participating in with the fire department or CDF? Well, I believe it's outside of the city limits, if I recall right.
It is. And
I think it's a great idea.
It is a great idea. To be honest with you, I knew they were working on it, but I just found out in the paper that they were going to site it at Summit Hills. Okay. Kurt and I have talked about this. There is a site in Darren Shetler's project on San Marcos Road for a tank like that, but I guess they chose not to use it, but I have not had a discussion with them on this. So there may be an issue with being able to fill that tank because it is in our highest pressure zone. That water's pumped four times by the time it gets up there. So just put things in perspective, our main well field is about elevation 800. They're putting that tank up around elevation 1,916. So there's a lot of energy to get that water up the hill. And it's served by a booster station. There's no tank up there that would serve the proposed tank by the CDF.
I just seemed like it was a really good idea that I don't know if they could be situated.
It's a good idea.
Near where the water tanks are, on it. But just wanted to comment on it. Yeah. But
it's a good idea, but it depends on how much, what their water needs really are and what kind of reliability they're expecting out of it. I certainly believe the San Marcos site would be better from a reliability standpoint because it would be fed by a tank, the one that was built for Darren Shetler's project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, as you once told me, water is free. It's getting it where you want it, when you want it, in the quantity you want it, and in the quality that you want it that costs money. So
that's correct.
Thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome.
Next on the agenda is our consent calendar, which has three items. Does any member of the council wish to pull an item for further discussion? Any member of the public? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion for all three.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next, updates from the city manager, then we'll go to community forum.
Thank you, Mayor. The first item I want to talk about tonight are the goats in the lake, a very popular and talked about item here in Atascadero. So the city has contracted with Central Coast Green Goats to place about 50 to 75 goats at the Atascadero Lake to remove weeds and other vegetation growth in the lake bed. This is an environmentally friendly solution to those weeds, one that Fish and Wildlife and other regulatory agencies did endorse and believed it, rather than trying to use machinery or much more invasive ways of trying to get rid of some of those weeds. The goats are contained within a temporary fencing enclosure, and they have their dog, Duke, there. There's a nice picture of Duke, a Great Pyrenees. They stay in one spot for about 3 days or so until all the weeds are eaten down in that area. Then they're moved to the next spot for another 3 days. In this manner, they're methodically being moved from the lower levels of the lake bed to the higher ground as the process moves forward. We did start on a little bit of high ground just to see how they do in a climate. Wanted them close to all the facilities. They've been doing very well. These are very hardy goats. These are very well taken care of goats. They are descend from desert goats, and so, you know, we've had concerns about our hot weather and other things. These goats are made for this and have everything they need. They are very well taken care of by both Duke and their goat herder. And in addition to the goats, we've been making some additional repairs to the Atascadero Creek Lake supply pipeline, which helps supplement water to the lake during the rainy months. So you probably saw a little bit of work there down by the restrooms and there at the dam. That is all work on that lake fill line to try and maximize as soon as that creek gets flowing to the level that it needs to flow for us to be allowed to take water, that we get the maximum amount of water that we can under our permits. So that is what is happening at the lake. On the flip side of the coin, stormwater preparation. We've been planning for a rainy El Nino season just in case the predictions are hopefully correct this year. In addition to getting the lake and the creek pipeline ready for a wet winter, city staff is also very busy with cleaning and clearing all of our drain inlets, stockpiling sand, pre-filling sandbags, performing street sweeping, trimming trees in city parks, testing and staging pumps that will be used for localized flooding, and inspecting and maintaining storm drain facilities to ensure everything is functioning properly. So we're doing what we can on our part. We're expecting hopefully a very rainy, wet season. This is going to be a tough season if it is an El Nino. We have a lot of stressed trees. Our beautiful oak forest is absolutely wonderful. Those oaks are under a lot of stress, and with those rains and those storms, we are expecting problems, and we're doing our best to prepare for those. We're also asking the public to please do their part to prepare for these rainy season. Please clean your gutters and downspouts, check and clear culverts and drain pipes, remove debris from ditches and waterways on your property, trim trees and branches that are hanging onto or scraping against roof, and please, please, please do not blow leaves or grass clippings into the streets, ditches, ponds, or waterways, because these plug up the inlets and the pipes that cause that localized flooding. The city cannot go onto people's private property and clean out your ditches and your culverts and all of that for you. That is each of our responsibilities as residents here in Atascadero. So please do your part. Check all that. Make sure that you two are ready for El Nino, and we'll work on our side. It is Fire Prevention Week. So the Great Chicago Fire started about 9 p.m. on October 8th in 1871 in or around a small barn belonging to the O'Leary family. The exact cause is still unknown, but the most popular tale famously blames Mrs. O'Leary's cow. Poor Mrs. O'Leary's cow. Whatever the actual cause of that historic and catastrophic event is the reason that Fire Prevention Week is held during the first week of October every year. The Atascadero Fire Department once again participated in the annual event by presenting a fire safety and prevention message to over 2,000 local preschool and elementary school children. And they did this by crawling around with their with all of the children in their full breathing apparatus and protective gear. Studies have shown that when kids are in a house that is on fire and hear the firefighters coming to save them, the sound of the firefighters with their breathing apparatus scares them, and so the children tend to hide. Ever since the original Star Wars movies appeared, millions of kids have associated the breathing of firefighters with Darth Vader and the evil. So the firefighters do their best to try and desensitize the kids and show them, no, this actually is a good noise, and this is your friend. And what to do in that fire. For 30 years now, fire service has encouraged firefighters to put on their protective equipment, including their breathing apparatus, and to crawl around with young kids to help detune them to the sound. And if I could have Luke show the video. We have about a two-minute video here of what these guys did last week.
So what I want to do, I'm going to crawl on the ground, and I want you guys to give me hugs and high fives and touch my clothes and bang on my helmet, because I want you guys to be comfortable when you come into your bedroom, okay?
So you can see a lot of these kids started out afraid with their hands over their ears, kind of afraid of that firefighter. And by the end, they're giving him five fives and hugs. This is a great exercise for the firefighters and the kids. So thank you to all those firefighters and the 2,000 kids that saw our presentations. The Atascadero Fire also participated in the Fire Prevention Week with a presentation of a $500 check to the Alicia Ann Rouge Byrne Foundation, which raises money in honor of the little girl who quite sadly died in a backyard fire. The foundation provides burn prevention education to children and helps raise money to send children to a camp in Fresno designated for children who are burn victims. We also had Savor the Central Coast. Our Savor booth was very well attended by numerous visitors this year. The booth concept was designed to provide visitors with just a taste of what Atascadero is all about. We showcased Atascadero's Americana history, hometown feel, and the genuine experience to be enjoyed when visiting Atascadero. Throughout the weekend, we highlighted demonstrations and tastings from an assortment of restaurants and vendors, which included Fig Good Food, Chaparral Artisan Vinegars, Therapy Honey, Groves on 41 Olive Oil, Brian's Bread, McGee's Catering, Chef Charlie, Avanti Italian Restaurant, Tent City Brewing, Bristol Cider House, and Nicholas Winery. I think our booth was one of the most popular booths at Savor. We had long lines the whole time as everybody wanted to sample the good stuff that we have here in Atascadero. We extend our sincere thanks to these vendors for helping make our Savor Weekend exceptionally special this year. We had a dunk tank fundraiser. I think I talked about it at the last council meeting for our all-inclusive playground. The Parents for Joy Committee held a large fundraising event in the Sunken Gardens recently to benefit the new all-inclusive playground project. Part of the fundraising effort included a pledge that if $5,000 was successfully raised by 10 a.m. that morning, Mayor O'Malley and Chief Haley would be dunked in the dunk tank at that event. With this terrific incentive, over $5,000 from our generous community members was donated to the cause, and both the mayor and the chief were successfully dunked, much to the amusement of the crowd. And rumor has it there's a video floating around on that one, so can't wait to see
that. Floating, I like that.
We're very pleased that this fundraiser for the playground was such a great success, and thank you to Mayor O'Malley and to Chief Haley for being such good sports. We appreciate it. It's a great project and a great fundraiser. So what's on the horizon? We have a lot of another very busy fall. Colony Days is this weekend. This coming Saturday, October 17th, we begin with the annual parade at 10 a.m., followed by all of the activities, food and vendor booths in the Sunken Garden and Tent City. And then new this year, we're going to have Tent City After Dark with lots of bluegrass music, food and drink, and it sounds like it's going to be a ton of fun. So there's a lot of activities. I'm hoping we'll hear a little bit more about that during public comment. We also have Lake Perimeter Cleanup Day. That's going to be held on Saturday, October 24th from 8:30 until noon. Volunteers will meet at 8:30 in front of the pavilion and should be sure to bring work gloves, clippers, and loppers if they have them, plus a hat and water. Last year, and with the help of the friends and community volunteers, we accomplished a huge cleanup. And the more folks that come out to help, the more work that gets done. That's a great event that does a lot of good work around our lake. I think last year they filled two or three dumpsters of green waste that was wonderful. We also have Zubu that night, so it's a busy night there at the lake. That's going to be Saturday, October 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. That's going to be our traditional Zubu. Great activities and games for the little kids, prizes. I believe they have a haunted house, and this year we're going to have a vegetable carving contest that will be judged by the city council. So that sounds like that's going to be an exciting night. We have the Veterans Day Memorial Ceremony at the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial, 11 a.m. on November 11th, and a barbecue lunch will be held at the Lake Park following the ceremony. That is an incredibly moving ceremony, very well done. I would highly encourage anybody that hasn't gone out to check it out. It's wonderful to honor our veterans. We have Taco Day on Traffic Way. That's coming up on Saturday, November 14th from 2 to 6 p.m. This is a new taco tasting contest event we're working on with our Traffic Way business owners with the goal of getting more people into those business and to make them more aware of what's available on Traffic Way. And, of course, to taste some really great tacos. Everybody has their favorite taco place here in town. Here's a chance to get them all together and decides who really is the best. So we have a very busy fall season of fun events in Atascadero, and we're looking forward to an equally busy holiday season full of fun activities. So this is just touching on what's here in October and the first part of November. And last but not least, tonight is our first night with our new community development director. I know I introduced him when the council approved his appointment, but this will be his first council meeting here. He's already gone to a couple planning commission meetings, and we're very happy to have him on board. He is a Atascadero resident and actually a former City of Atascadero employee, although he has been working in San Luis Obispo for a number of years. So we're happy we stole him away from the city in San Luis Obispo. And we welcome you, Phil. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any council questions? I do want to add that we were thankful to have Grape Encounters join us at Savor as one of the vendors as well. And David is always entertaining, if you know David Wilson, with his international radio show regarding the wine industry and, of course, their little wine bar right down on Traffic Way. So thank you for that report. We'll go on now to our community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to speak on any topic that is not on our agenda that's under the jurisdiction of our city. Welcome. Go ahead. I see Mr. Shively and Miss Carlin and Miss Greenaway. A nice long line this evening.
I'll start.
Okay, welcome.
Well, I'm talking on a very serious subject, but one that concerns us all. My name again is Annette Carlin, and I'm a resident of Atascadero for 29 years. Good evening, Mayor O'Malley and City Council members, and I want to thank everyone up there for your service to our community. Well, I came to address you regarding the escalating gun violence and what I feel we must do. As an individual of conscience, it occurred to me as I lit memorial candles for the 9 dead in Oregon that two things. One, as a business practice, if it is illegal and you do it with ignorance, it is deemed ignorant in a court of law, and it usually comes with a fine. But if you continue doing that practice with knowledge, it's considered fraud and carries heavy consequences. Also, consider about crime, murder, assault, robbery. When you read about them in your news source, you're an innocent. You are merely another surprised, shocked, or God help us all, numb listener. However, with the single instance of foreknowledge of that crime, you become complicit with the act of crime and can be held liable with very heavy consequences. So just think about it. Assault is defined as a noun to be battery or attack. The verb form means attack, hit, strike, punch. Nowhere does it say protect. Therefore, consider this. When, not if, but when attacks occur in our town, at our school, with either assault rifles or handguns, that we all know about this. We have foreknowledge. We're no longer innocent, ignorant, nor taken by surprise anymore, which in the eyes of the law makes us complicit, doesn't it? Isn't that how we finally broke the tobacco industry? We finally said, you knew about all of this. Well, what I'm here to ask you today is this, counsel. When it happens here, and the people of Atascadero come looking to you for what you've done to prevent it, and you are the governing members of our city with power both in influence and funds at your voting discretion, what will be your answer? You can be the first city council in our area that takes a stand. You can issue a proclamation that declares Atascadero to be actively opposed to violence with handguns and assault rifles. You can demand serious punishment to those who do not enforce background checks. You can help begin by bringing a balance of rights of a society with the rights of the individual. We can do this. And may I ask what I'm asking of you? I'm sorry, I didn't talk fast enough. Can I have 5 more seconds?
5 more seconds.
Okay. So I call upon you today to convene a public summit on the topic to direct a task force bringing together law enforcement, the public, faith community, and mental health workers so that we have a plan. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor and council and staff and public. My name's Pastor Steve Shively. I'm from Refuge Church over on Portola Road, and I'm here tonight just to pray for our meeting and just want to pray for God's blessing on our community and just give him thanks. We have a lot to be thankful for tonight, and I think it's important we acknowledge that continually. Before I pray, though, I'd like just to share a couple of verses out of God's Word. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's basically saying if your faith is in Christ, we can have confidence, our sins are forgiven, and we're free from the judgment that a just God is going to bring on everybody. And I'm blessed tonight to know that I'm in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Heavenly Father, we just praise you tonight. Just thank you absolutely, God, for the good things that you have blessed us with and bestowed upon us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, God, for even the report, God, of the water we have in this community. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of that. Lord, we are in a community that's relatively safe, a place, Lord, where we have food. Lord, there's many things to help out hurting people and so forth. And Lord, I would just hope and pray that, Lord, we would have a grateful heart. And there's a lot of things that in ourselves we can begin to complain about, and there's a right way to go about things and a wrong way. But I would pray that before we would complain, we would look up and we would say, thank you for the breath in our lungs and the beat of our heart and all that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for our council and our government here in town. We pray your blessing on them. We pray that you'll give them wisdom in the decisions that are before them and so forth. We pray that for our nation as well, Lord. We need you desperately in this land. I want to pray, Lord, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forth swiftly through our land, and all would know that, indeed, you died on the cross for our sins, that whoever would call upon your name would be saved. And I just thank you that you're a God of no partiality, and that absolutely you love us. And so, again, bless the rest of our night, and bless the rest of the things that will be talked about and shared here tonight. And just want to pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker, Mrs. Greenaway.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, and staff. I'm delighted to be invited to come and share with you about our very well-deserved annual celebration of Atascadero Colony Days. And thank you so much, Rochelle, for sharing that, and thank you all for helping promote this event that's now in its 42nd year. Atascadero Colony Days is growing and expanding a lot. We have a parade, an annual parade that starts at 10 o'clock, and it includes marching bands. And a number of years back, we decided that in order to attract marching bands, which are what helps make our parade interesting, that a marching band competition was a good idea. It helps them have another reason to be here. And so we have that at 2 o'clock on this Saturday. In the Sunken Gardens, there are all kinds of activities. And this year we have something new. The Dogtoberfest celebration is going to be a part of our festivities. So wiener dog races and all the stuff that goes with that, costumed dogs and contests of that nature. We also have Atascadero Colony Days as Tent City, which... Mr. Mayor, you were part of the entertainment committee with me back in 2003, and when the idea hit the table, and really it was your idea to see, could we recreate Atascadero's very beginning, a little tiny slice of time from 14 to 16, when people lived here in tents, while they were waiting to build their houses and while they were looking around this amazingly designed community. And we did it, and we continue to do it with a bunch of volunteers. So it's very appropriate that the Colony Days theme is celebrating volunteers. We couldn't do Tent City without the many, many volunteers that we have. And we have lots of people who donate time, and they donate resources to share parts of Atascadero's story. But we also have expenses, and so this year, since Tent City's open after everything else packs up and goes home, we thought, let's do something fun and charge people to come and have a little fun with us. So that's what Tent City After Dark is. We're having a bluegrass night where for $10 for adult tickets, a little more at the gate, $5 for kids 13 to 17 and kids 12 and under free. People can come in and there's food and drink for purchase. There's going to be a jam time, sing-along, play-along time with Banjo Dan over in the barbershop tent. But on the stage, all night long, in 50-minute sets, there's going to be bluegrass by local musicians come together to make music, and hopefully there'll be some jam there, too. So please come.
Perfect timing. What a showman. Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Martha Peterson, and I am president of the Board of Directors of the North County Humane Society. We recently received a check from the City of Atascadero to be applied to our spay-neuter program, and I'm here to say thank you. Our spay-neuter program is one of the mainstays of NCHS, and the city has supported the program financially for over 32 years, helping us to prevent the birth of unwanted pets. As an example, one female cat and her offspring can produce over 370,000 kittens over a seven-year span, and a female dog and her offspring can produce 67,000 puppies in that same length of time. Our program issued 190 certificates in the year 2014. And if you, I did some math, but I'm really not, it's not my forte. Assuming that the certificates were divided evenly between dogs and cats, our spay-neuter program prevented the birth of 6,365,000 North County puppies and 35,150,000 North County kittens over the seven-year span starting in 2014. And that is the result of just 1 year's worth of certificates. We have been, as I say, been doing this for over 32 years. You multiply that, and that's a lot of unwanted puppies and kittens. The city's ongoing support has been invaluable in helping NCHS to make this happen. So on behalf of the North County Board of North County Humane Society Board of Directors and the staff, I say thank you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Tom, could Mrs. Peterson explain how people get certificates and how the process actually works?
Good question, Councilman Kelly. Did you hear that?
I didn't.
Tell the public how they could get one of those certificates or how they go about getting assistance from your organization.
Okay. The certificates, we have $25 certificates that are, you know, you give to the vet when you have your animal spayed or neutered, and that takes $25 off of the cost. These are only for North County residents, and they're only for use with North County vets. You just come into our adoption center at 2300 Ramona Road, and we will give you a certificate or two.
Very good. Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Chris Balo. My day job is principal of alternative education for Itasca Unified School District. I'm here on behalf of the community group Lighthouse, which is a program of the Itasca Greyhound Foundation. And they do many wonderful things to support our schools, including supporting counseling for drug and alcohol addiction for Atascadero youth. I'm here to talk about their next event, which is called the Reality Tour. That's taking place coming up on Monday at the Lake Park Pavilion from 5 to 7 p.m. What is the Reality Tour? Reality Tour is put on by a host of partners in our community, including Atascadero Fire, Atascadero Police, Atascadero Unified School District, Templeton students from the Drama Department, community business such as Chapel of the Roses, and it's an event which is geared to allow parents and their children to have a conversation about drug abuse and drug use. The actual event takes place, you follow the fictitious life of an addict, and so that's a pretty emotional scene. There's a lot of role-playing. There's also some peer skits involved. There's a parent education piece, and there's also a drug education piece. The whole goal of the program is that after someone partakes in the tour, that the children and the adults or the parents then will talk about what drug use is, both prescription and illegal drug use. The statistics show that 42% of students that are kids that talk to, let me rephrase this, children are 42% less likely to abuse drugs if they have conversations with their parents. And that's exactly what the Reality Tour does, is it allows the parents to have an opportunity to talk to their children. I went and took my own daughter to the tour, and it did exactly that. It allowed us to talk about what she sees at school, what she hears about in the community, what she sees on YouTube, everywhere. It allowed us to have that conversation that maybe we didn't feel like just sort of charging into at the dinner table. So if you want more information, you can go to lighthouseatascadero.org. I also have some handouts on the back table there, and that will tell you how to sign up. Our target audience is children in 6th grade through 12th grade, and we'll hope you find the time to attend.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
My name is Barbara Combs, 9005 Lakeview Drive. Lived at residence of Atascadero Lake for 30 years and had a business, continued business in the downtown for 15 years. And I'm just here. I have such a heart to put Atascadero on the map. And I was reminded tonight as I was sitting here when Tom O'Malley first kind of was stepping up into office. He was on a sound-off radio show in Paso. And they were talking about tourism in Atascadero, and I remember the mocking radio announcer going, what could we possibly do in Atascadero for tourism, you know, because Paso seemed to have it all going on. But as time goes on, as I've seen so many things develop, like the Colony Days, and I'm part of the 17th Annual Musical Holiday Walk, my concern now is let's get us on the map. Let's really promote Atascadero. And one of the easiest ways, honestly, is through YouTube and different contests. And I could see even the zoo that, you know, we could take pictures. But just put the name Atascadero into your video. And as you remember, Atascadero, we originally had the first movie company in 1928. This is part of our history, to do videos, to do movies. And so put the name in, and then the city can reward, you know, different videos that get 5,000 hits. If we get 30,000 hits, you can make up to 100 grand in the YouTube promotion. And so we want to get pictures of the tiger singing or whatever you can get, you know, that would go viral and put our name out there. And I wanted to thank you for the 17th Annual Musical Holiday Walk. It's December 5th. And I'm hoping, I've asked every year, is there any singing employees? Because that would be such an awesome YouTube. If we could get the police in a quartet all dressed up, or the fire in, you know, your uniforms. People love that. So do whatever you can to promote Atascadero. And I thank you for putting the money up to get that pipeway ready to go for the El Nino. Atascadero, for 100-year history, we get 24 inches of rain. And so if we can capture that creekway with the extra water that we have, the tourism is going to be amazing. I just brought a few, you know, old postcards that we sell at my shop downtown. This is, you know, Atascadero Lake Park, a little girl with the water. Here's one like fishing at the lake. And this is a huge part of tourism. So when the lake gets filled up, let's start taking pictures of the eagles flying around and really make a name so we can get Stadium Park all up and going and have tons of revenue and have a good time. Thank you.
Thank you. Perfect timing once again. Well, I can't think of a better segue into our discussion tonight about promoting Atascadero. I tell you, that Verdin group is really on the ball. How did you get Barbara here to have a nice lead-in on that? I do want to follow up a little couple of comments on our public comment, however. And, of course, Annette, I heard you speak at the county supervisors, same message. Thank you. And I wanted to assure you on a couple of levels. Councilman Sturtevant and I sit on a city schools committee with two school board members. It's a topic we have brought up, and we'll be talking about that more. It's a topic we've talked about at our countywide mayor's meeting. And, of course, our police department has been very active and done a very good job on we've had a couple of really tough cases where we've had to deal with really potentially dangerous situations on school campuses. I believe they handle it very well. I've already asked our city manager at a future date to have our police chief kind of debrief us a little bit what have we experienced and talk a little bit about their preparedness. We can also kind of address some of those issues you raised, because I know background checks are a part of what is going on. But I think if we just had and make sure that Ms. Carlin is known when we have that as an agenda item in the future, because I think, Chief, it would be good. Your department's done an outstanding job of the two major incidents that I know, and I think getting an update on that in the future when you have some time to prepare that, I think that would be good. So we will do that. Of course, Diane Greenaway, it's always a pleasure to have you visit. I do remember young, as Lon Allen called me, cockeyed optimist, riding the old elevator down from this fourth floor. It moved very slow, and I'd walk out to the first floor, and there would be a picture of Tent City, and that was the inspiration. Of course, not being a person who, you know, actually gets that much done, I just have ideas and find people who do a lot of work. I want to thank you both, Annette Carlin involved, and Diane with Tent City. It's grown immensely, and happy to have a small part, so thank you. And with that, we'll move on from the community forum. No one else has approached. We'll close that. And we have no public hearings. So our first management report is Visit Atascadero's Branding and City Marketing Plan. And I'm going to ask our Deputy Director, Terry Banish, to introduce this topic.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley and Council. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. To talk about our Visit Atascadero branding and marketing plan that we presented on September 25th and coming back with the different changes and recommendations that we have. So to get us started in this process is our story of change. And the story of change came about with the Tourism and Promotions game plan that we did many workshops starting in August of 2014 up until tonight. To come up with the different steps and success indicators that are bringing us to our 2015 part of Build the Foundation. And so with that, we have a marketing plan draft, and we have a brand plan draft, and we have the infrastructure plan in place. So with that, success indicators on the bottom left-hand side of the screen up there is part of a three-year plan, and we're one step ahead of the ball game because we're only in October, and we're ready to move that forward. So it's exciting for this evening to do. Also, the evolution of the Tourism and Promotion Game Plan, as you can see there's been a number of different workshops starting in August of 2014 up until this evening, really taking a step-by-step process that you've done and created this foundation and game plan that we are working from. So the roadmap that we have is very clear, and what I'd like to do first is to go into one piece of it, which is the Visit Atascadero brand plan and introduce verdant marketing. I have Ashley Akers and Stephanie here, and I'll give you the clicker.
Thank you so much, Terry, and thank you, City Council, for having us again. We're really excited to be here tonight, and we were talking in the office of how amazing it's been, this journey that you've all had and working this past year with Coraggio and seeing where we're come, and so we're just really excited to take that next step and get this approved and moving forward. So we look forward to it. So as Terry mentioned, Stephanie and I have been heading the team, but we have more of our team here. Megan Condit is here, our art director, as well as Mary Verdin, our chief strategy officer, as well as our president. And we'll go ahead and get started with a quick agenda. So we're first going to look at where we came, like how did we get to where we're at today, by looking at the Coraggio Summary and Research, looking at the tourism landscape, seeing the city logo versus tourism logos, the Visit Atascadero logo goals and the job the logo has to do, as well as the revised logo and color palette. So again, you guys have done such amazing hard work with the Coraggio team, and you've laid a really solid foundation, which was instrumental in how we got to where we're at. So we pulled some of this information from the game plan on in helping build the identity. We look at the opportunities, so the beauty that Atascadero has to offer, the attractions, the events, the downtown scene, the outdoor activities, the quality of life and patriotism that we see so prevalently here in Atascadero. And then that's actually been boiled down into a really great positioning statement that you've all approved, and that's part of that game plan. Atascadero is a beautiful and authentic city of outdoor recreation, culinary adventures, and welcoming hospitality. It's a safe place where the arts and history thrive, and the diversity of experience, generosity of spirit, and small town ambiance are here to be enjoyed by visitors and residents alike. And this is so great because it's kind of our driving force. It's that umbrella statement that we just make sure all of our messaging kind of relates back to. So now looking at the goals, this brand has to achieve two different goals. And I know you've all seen this, and what we're really wanting to make sure is that the Visit Atascadero brand is to come, sleep, spend. The goal is to get the visitors to come and stay in Atascadero. And the city side of that is to stay, spend, and enjoy, and really provide that authentic experience for residents and visitors alike. So I know you all really enjoyed the Five Senses. We were involved in the Five Senses exercise, which is part of our intake session and with City Council. And we really kind of take this information as part of getting an understanding or essence of what Atascadero has to offer. So we asked these five questions. What does Atascadero taste like? And here is a summary of what was said. Atascadero tastes like comfort food, homegrown garden, apple pie and cookies. It sounds like nature and zoo animals, children's laughter and community activities. It feels like a hometown Americana, a sigh of relief, seasons, a pair of favorite well-worn shoes and a Labrador puppy. It smells like grassy fields, auto repair shops on a hot day, pancakes and lavender, and looks like wildlife, country, history, community, and Norman Rockwell. And again, we just take all this information and it helps us build the creative brief. So the creative brief is that leading document that we take and we continue to check back to make sure that we're on target. And it starts by identifying those audiences that we want to reach. And we're in this process, we're wanting to reach visitors, city residents, and Slo County residents, with subgroups focusing on foodies, wine enthusiasts, active retirees, families, event travelers, and outdoor enthusiasts. The next step of our process is really looking at the tourism landscape. And here we've looked at three different areas that are similar within our region, Paso Robles, Arroyo Grande, and San Ynez Valley. And what you see is, although they look all very different, they're all building off of a brand that then is consistent in all the different platforms, whether it be on the website and social media. But they're similar in size to what Atascadero has to offer, and we want to make sure we stand out and we look different when we're seen within the region. So now going into the job of the logo, and I know the logo and identity is one part of the marketing plan. It's a lot more involved with imagery as well as messaging and how we get it out there through the marketing plan. So really the identity or logo's job is to be distinctive and aesthetically pleasing, convey a sense of place, appeal to our target audience, and honor the past and look into the future. So now we're going to look at city logos versus tourism logos and how that is incorporated in city signage. And they're all very different and have different purposes. So a city logo, as you can see, the city of San Luis Obispo's logo shown there, governmental, professional, that is what the city of San Luis Obispo uses for their brand. Now their tourism brand is different. Their tourism brand pulls in elements like the circular shape, but it has a different simple font treatment because it knows it needs to target a variety of audiences. City signage on that, on the other hand, is very purpose-driven. It is to tell a driver you've entered into a city. And so you can build in elements of something that relates to the town, but it's got a clear different purpose than the other two logos. Again, if we look at Paso Robles, Paso Robles city logo there has a different, that governmental feel, while the Paso Robles tourism logo is fun and playful and really kind of speaks to the taste of what you get in Paso. Again, city signage, directional, giving people an identity of where they're going. And we also wanted to look at other locations outside of our region. It's important for us to know what that landscape looks like and what we're doing and making sure that we're in line. And so here you can see in Santa Monica, the city logo there. The tourism logo, again, very simple. This is actually a new logo that is very current, as well as the city signage, the city of Santa Monica signage there. And now I'm going to pass it over to Stephanie to go over the logos.
Thank you. So Ashley just kind of wrapped up everything in the history. Oh, can you hear me? Okay. A little taller. The history of how we got where we are today. So what we pulled together, our staff spent a couple days in Atascadero getting a good feel of the town. We really want to immerse ourselves in the experience here. And we put a snapshot together of different images that you would find around the town. We took some of these photos and we took some of these photos just from inspiration around and kind of collaged them all together so you can really get this Atascadero experience. What does it really feel like to be here? Because visually looking at this, we want to take a brand and have that represent the town to someone who doesn't know what it feels like to be here, and we want to express that outwards. So after all this history of what you've done is such a great job to get to, and all that work, we've come to this logo, Visit Atascadero, California. So this is the logo that you decided we should move forward with at the September meeting, which was great. And we took your feedback and made some updates. We looked at the spacing in Visit California and also the font. So we kind of refined the spacing between those letters. And we also decided that this is the recommendation going forward with the Visit California font. It's a good weight. It's a good counterbalance to the beautiful script of Atascadero. And if it's applied smaller into like a smaller space online or in an ad, you can clearly read the Visit in California doesn't get lost. It's a very clean serif of the Visit California, and it's really juxtaposed well with the script of the Atascadero, which kind of like harkens back to the Caladero boxes and from the fruit trees of the past. So it does that job of nodding to the past, but the forward leaning of the script is forward thinking and moving toward the future. So this is the logo applied to some of the ads that we've created already. And so you can see it applied on here on the left with Visit Atascadero, California. And there's a lot going on in the ad. You can see the beautiful images, but you really know that it is Atascadero because the logo really stands out. You can see Atascadero clearly. And on the right, we've used Visit Atascadero Simply Genuine, which is kind of a change up from the California, and it can be applied. It just shows how versatile the logo is applied in different on different applications. And also these logos are we're using the color palette that we decided to move forward, that you had chosen at the September meeting going forward. And this is the logo in the full color palette, or from the color palette. And so we printed it out because, as we talked about, on different screens it can look different, and this is the true color printing. So that was the logo that was used in that first format. And the next one is actually that reversed out logo. So you can see in that other ad that it was a little darker in the background, so we need the versatility to be able to white it reverse out in this sort of application when it's darker. And this is the color palette you chose moving forward, and we took your suggestions and directions and kind of brightened up the color across the board, and we also took your recommendation of adding another warm color in with that golden, beautiful yellow, and it's actually inspired by the lights that shine outside of the City Hall building. So just bringing in that kind of those classic Americana colors. And really, these are the colors that we saw in the beginning on that visual snapshot. So it's incorporating all those colors in and giving us a good feel of what Atascadero can offer within, you know, with colors. So here are some campaign messages that we're working in. None of them are set in stone, but it's just kind of some messaging we can bring along with the brand, with the logo. Rich in history and genuine hospitality, California as it used to be. Genuinely crafted, simple in nature. Crafted in rich history, down-home hospitality. So I'm going to turn it back to Terry.
Okay, so that's one piece, being the branding plan. Branding plan works with the marketing plan together. So going into the marketing plan, we have our executive summary, we have how it impacts the community, the target audience, and behavioral targeting recap, as well as the unique selling proposition, and what the goals and objectives are of that marketing plan, how that's going to work for us to drive sales and restaurants and businesses in town. With our executive summary, this marketing plan, along with our branding plan, is going to promote the city's assets as well as the events that appeal to local and county residents and visitors. It's going to focus to local businesses to attract and promote shopping local, and it's also going to integrate and work dovetail with the tourism and promotional game plan that's been set forth, as well as the Atascadero Tourism Marketing Plan. The community impact that our plan will have will enhance the city's economic impact, promote the city's businesses and assets, and drive traffic to the city's businesses via the different promotions, events, and overall marketing that we are going to be looking at here shortly in a couple of the next slides. It also keeps the city top of mind throughout the year, where we're promoting on a continual basis to our local and county residents, as well as to our visitors, to stay, spend, and enjoy. So the focus of the city's marketing plan is to have people stay. Once they are here or coming into our area, they're staying, spending, and enjoying what we have to offer. With our target audiences, we're looking at visitors, local and county residents. Geographic market focus is going to be in-county market, as well as the corridors of our connecting counties with the Salinas Corridor, Fresno Corridor, and Santa Maria. Behaviorally, we're going to look to target local and county residents across all ages, families, active retirees, and children. We're also going to follow the Atascadero tourism marketing plan personas. And those personas are your millennials that we identified in our last meeting, as well as our baby boomers and our 40 to 60-year-old travelers that have the highest discretionary income. Once they're here, we want them to stay here. We're also going to target food and wine enthusiasts, as well as our outdoor enthusiasts. Our unique selling proposition recaps what Ashley had mentioned and what we've worked hard to get to this point, to have a vision. And this vision has to go to work in our marketing plan. We have the two goals of our plan, as we've identified, to come, stay, and enjoy, and then the city's goal to stay, spend, and enjoy. So these plans will work together to deliver and promote our unique selling proposition. With our marketing strategy, we have goals and objectives, and then, of course, our budget. With our goals, there's three main goals, and that's to have an advertising campaign that is an ongoing campaign that provides top-of-mind awareness to our area. It also is designed to establish new events and grow existing events that appeal to local and county residents, as well as visitors, and attract more visitors. We will also, the third thing is to measure the success of everything that we do, make sure that we can make it most effective with events, as well as promotions, that they're working hard for us. With our marketing objectives that support these goals, we have five objectives: the top of mind advertising campaign and promotional plan. We have a special event sponsorship program that we're going to put in place. We're developing an event portfolio. We have a themed promotions calendar with a shop local focus. And we have the established measurement metrics to measure the success. With our promotional plan, the biggest thing is to have reach and frequency. So we look to traditional media as well as digital media to do that. We want to complement the Atascadero Tourism Marketing Plan efforts, and then look at seasonality, like an April through September time frame. We'll incorporate the Visit Atascadero promotional logo into all of our promotions and things that we do. And then we'll target geographically, so specifically in our county, and then the corridors into our county. The different tactics that we'll use: we have traditional media with broadcast TV, specifically KCUY and KSBY. They have a good mass reach of our county. Outdoor, we have different ways of doing that. We have the billboards here in Atascadero that we want to take advantage of changing up the creative on that with our new logo, freshen the look. We also have billboards that are leading into our area, whether they're coming in from Fresno or Bakersfield or Salinas or even Santa Maria. As they're coming in, we want them to come up to us. We want them to, you know, we want to be top of mind so they can come out to Atascadero and stay in our area. We also can do that by the Hearst Castle buses, as well as the Slo County Airport, via different signage on the buses. As people go up to Hearst Castle, well, hey, why not come here to the City Hall, Historic City Hall, for tours, because you have a lot of people that are into that history. We'll also look to print and radio for events and be event specific with that. We'll also look to print with different type of magazines that are designed to promote our tourism, whether that's Vintages Magazine, Vino, Visitor's Guide, those type of things would be a good way to do that. With targeted media, we have our radio talk show that is already in place, and that is Uncorked and the Quick Bites radio show with David Wilson. He covers 92.5 The Crush, as well as radio stations across Fresno and Bakersfield, and about 70 radio stations across the market with his talk show that's specific to wine. And then also our brochures. And the brochures are distributed, again, to all the welcome centers, as well as the Slo County hotels and our feeder markets. And that, again, is top-of-mind awareness to design to get these folks here to our area. And we all know that we are on our iPads and our laptops and our iPhones. I can see a couple of you right now doing that. So digital and social media is very important. Search engine marketing, having paid search with keywords and retargeting is ways to really make our dollars work hard for us. We also, it's a lead generating tool for us that we can see the leads that are coming in, where people are coming from, and the reporting will be very effective for us. E-marketing blasts, if we're doing a brew at the zoo and we want to hit Cal Poly students in that zip code and we want to e-market blast to them, e-blast to them, that's another effective way to promote and drive attendance to those different events. Sponsored content is a way to talk about the history of our historic City Hall and talk about the different things we have, the Vets Memorial and different things coming up that puts us on major websites where it helps drive content for our website. And then social media, and then the media websites that are large are other ways to tackle that. Giveaways come in because promotional ticket giveaways with like four family pack tickets to the zoo type of thing when you do live radio remotes is another thing that we would like to have the opportunity to do. It provides a good value for the listeners, and it provides that reach that we're looking for that as well. Number two is our special event sponsor program. Outreach is ongoing right now for this to attract events to Atascadero. So whether we're looking at existing events, maybe in a neighboring county like Monterey, and they have the Porsche Club, and it's the Concourse in Paradise type of event, we try and maybe give them something to do on the way up to Monterey or something like that. Traveling shows like a cactus show, an antique show. We just had Three Speckled Hens at the Paso Robles Event Center. Is there an opportunity to get that sort of an event here as well? We also have events that can expand locations. Festival Mosaic is one of those. So they do a large summer concert series, and being able to have the exposure and the reach that that particular business gets and be a part of that and be one of their locations or venues on the way, those are things that we're looking at working with them on that particular item. And there's plenty more. So we're looking to implement a special event criteria and form. We're looking at other cities and how they've done this because we want to be fair across all of our sponsorship opportunities with that criteria that's set up. And then we want to also establish consistent sponsorship criteria across our media partners as well. Number three, with events, we have events are very specific to our marketing plan. We have tier one, tier two, and tier three events. The tier one events are our large signature events like Savor, kind of that 1 to 2 night stay. The Atascadero Lakeside Wine Festival has the winemaker dinner the Friday night. We have the event on Saturday, and then we have the fun day on Sunday. How can we expand that to maybe be Thursday? So there's a reason to expand hotel stays to 2 nights versus 1 night type of thing. Hot El Camino Cruise Night and Car Show Weekend, again, taking an event that exists that's very popular here and expanding it to adding a Dancing in the Streets to expand to the Saturday evening and make it a longer event. And keep building on our signature events that we have, and that encourages longer hotel stays. Our signature events like Colony Days, Winter Wonderland, Holiday Lighting, all of those events are events we can build upon and continue to expand. And then our single day events is usually where events start, and there's quite a few. I've actually added a couple since our last meeting on September 25th, being the Olive Oil Festival and the Lake Fest. These are some of those events that we've been approached to entertain, like an Olive Oil Festival. Paso has one, they have a wine festival too, and we have a wine festival, why not have an olive festival? So these are some of the things that are ongoing
good ideas and just, you know, trying to pick the right ones and focus on those. And we have already started doing a little at that, of that. Brew at the Zoo, we're tentatively looking at April 30th of 2016, so we're just trying to build out our calendars as well. Another important thing with events is locals favorite. The community local favorite events like your seasonal events, Tuesday's Barbecue in the Park, Movies in the Garden, Summer Concert Series, those type of things. And then one-time events that sometime can become, you know, an ongoing event, like the 60th anniversary of the Charles Paddock Zoo. Do we want it to be a yearly birthday of the Charles Paddock Zoo? It was a good event. We also have the unveiling of the Charles Paddock statue, which is very important, and the lighting up of historic City Hall. So again, those will be ongoing as we have different things coming up. Moving on to the fourth objective is themed promotions and driving traffic to businesses, to the retail establishments, as well as to restaurants, coming up with different promotions and working with the businesses on what they would think would be effective and, you know, would stick and be successful. Greyhound Month, Restaurant Month, Health Month for restaurant promotions. Local retail maybe doing something like a frequent visitor card or passport weekends to drive shopping local. And then the business-focused events like Taco Day on Traffic Way is a perfect example of working with businesses on a different, you know, idea and approach and having success with it, and that only creates success with other events. People like that, and then they'll do the Entrada Enchilada contest or something like that. Anyway, the fifth objective is measurement, and we have website traffic, zoo attendance, we have TOT tax, sales tax. We have our own resources with the Colony Park Community Center, Pavilion on the Lake, and community feedback. All are important in measuring the success of what we're doing. With our budget, we have a $200,000 budget, and it's basically split in half, the event costs being $91,500 and kind of broke across different events. I won't go into that too much right now. We're working on developing a true cost measurement of those events. Winter Wonderland is going to give us that because we're already working on how that's going to be broken out with staff time and all those different things. The promotional budget is pretty specifically laid out on what we'll be doing with that. So kind of gives a really good feel of where we'll be and what we're spending. And as far as next steps, so the council recommendations that are being developed currently from September 25th is the destination asset inventory, you know, really pulling together what we have to offer from an asset standpoint, what our facilities are, what we can accommodate, that sort of thing. We have our local food strategy, you know, really getting people out to the different restaurants and patronizing the restaurants that we have in our area. A true cost event accounting of all of the different events and what they'll really cost, and does it make sense to continue certain events? Was it worth all of that we put into it? Was it successful? And using those benchmarks that will be established with that. Also, the special event sponsorship form, and then tiered events being more specific on what those tier 1, 2, and 3 events are. The Visit Atascadero logo marketing plan draft will be implemented following council's approval. And then once approved, we'll have calendars that will be created with a layout of the year for promotions, events, social media calendar for the city that will dovetail with the Atascadero Tourism marketing plan. And then with the logo approval, we'll be able to move forward on the Visit Atascadero website and the Atascadero Tourism Board marketing plan, along with implementing the city's marketing plan. So the recommendation for council, there's two recommendations. Number one, to adopt the draft Visit Atascadero logo and color palette. And number two, adopt the draft marketing plan. And I'd like to open up for questions.
Thank you. Excellent report. And I know it was tough because the city manager was cracking the whip wanting you to push through pretty fast, and you did a fine job.
Thank you.
Council questions, and if you use your lights, that'll help. And we can move on to the public if Councilman Fonzie.
Good report, Carrie. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I was wondering about the calendar that we have. We're trying to coordinate with local agencies and nonprofits as well. Will they be included in this calendar so we don't have conflicts between things that are going on in the community?
We are, I'm working right now with the Atascadero Community Alliance in establishing an event calendar for Atascadero. And what's nice about that is it has our events on it, it has all the community events on it, so it'll be a very thorough calendar. We are going to be meeting to present that on October 26th. And that will bring in all the nonprofits, all the different, you know, everything that you can imagine on that calendar. So that will be a great place for us to make sure that our event calendar reflects what it needs to with those events.
Very good. And I know that you're coordinating with the TBID. Just wondered how they have had input into those events that were going to be planned, the Tier 1, Tier 2, and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll have input into those events. And that is on our future planning and discussion. And I know in the Atascadero Tourism Marketing Plan, it talks about events as one of their objectives. So we'll work together to implement a great event. So a couple of them.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Thank you. Great report. You've really put a lot of work into this. And since you've come on, I can already see in the newspapers and what have you that we're hearing a little bit more about Atascadero. Your plan here, I don't know how you plan on getting it all done because there's a tremendous amount of work that takes place to do this. I'm kind of concerned with the Tier 1 events. I think during the 2 years or so of conversations, and I think at a couple of meetings, there might have been consensus about possibly budgeting some money to hire outside contractors to help possibly bring the bigger events to town, like a booking agent, events that'll take place like for 3 days and really bring in, you know, a lot of people like car show people or like the Porsche Club instead of just stopping here, stay here. And I think you have to have some connections and everything with that. Is there any room in that budget? I know it's just a budget that we're working on right now where funds would be available to try that out the first year. And because you're not, I don't see how you're going to be able to do all this just time-wise, not that you can't do it, but to get you some help to hopefully bring some of these larger events to the town that'll fill all the hotels up and become a like a landmark destination in the future.
Absolutely. So we, with our city's marketing plan and along with the Atascadero's tourism marketing plan, I know together that we can work on that when we come up with an event that is, you know, it's pretty significant. Well, you know, we can presuppose that we would definitely look to help have help with that to make it successful. So it definitely makes sense and to be shared even.
Fine, thank you, because I've done a couple of these, and the amount of time they take, it's incredible. And I think you'd be much more efficient for us in doing all of these local events and having somebody else concentrate on a big one and not losing the little one. So I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you. Other council questions? I have a very small one. But I like seeing the Santa Monica display where they had the CA in a different color. And when we had this discussion, we always try to work in Atascadero being the center of California. It was, if you look at E.G. Lewis's ads, you know, that halfway between L.A. and San Francisco. Fortunately for us, CA for California is exactly right in the middle of Atascadero, A-T-S-C-A-D-E-R-O. And we talked about, is it would it be possible at some point to maybe even have that a different color for CA, just like Santa Monica does, and would that be of value to work that in? I know you're going to be doing a lot of different ideas that might be used and with different subheadings like Simply Genuine. And are there other thoughts along those lines that we might see, or is that really going to be more on the Visit Atascadero side?
Well, I'm going to defer to Megan, as I see you get up, to answer that question.
Hello. So one big differentiator between Atascadero and Santa Monica is Atascadero, as we've all learned, is hard to read and hard to say, and I think blocking up the actual word that way might hinder that. And also, because it's in the middle, it makes it even worse, and we have a beautiful script that's not separated the way that Santa Monica is.
Okay, I'm not going to ask any more questions. Thank you. We're going to open it up to the public, and we are blessed by having our entire current Tourism Business Improvement District Board in the audience. They are true partners in this, and I would ask if they would come forward first on any comments that they might have, and then we'll go to the general public. But again, since they are partners and have been working in parallel with this, I would welcome the TBID board members to come forward, and then we'll open up to the general public. And you have the privilege of going into not only questions, you can make comments. We're going to reserve our comments till the end of public comment. Any TBID board members wishing to come forward? Don't be shy.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I guess I will say something because you called me out, and I hope some of the other TBID members will jump in as well. But I just want to say that I love the logo that has been presented, and I hope we can move forward and make a decision today. It's been a year and a half, I think, and a lot of great input, a lot of great feedback. The logo's already, you know, standing out in my mind. It's kind of burned in my mind, and I think that's great because when I look at the other logo, the previous one, not that I don't like it, but I kind of get a little bit lost. So seeing that initial capital letter with the rest of the forward thinking, I say cursive, but with the rest of it, I think it flows really well. You know, I'd also, I guess, just like to say that, you know, that's my opinion. I think there are a lot of great opinions. But I always go back to, you know, the professionals that we hired, the marketing firm that we hired. I refer back to the Caraggio Group, who, you know, assists as far as, you know, with change and business and their marketing efforts as well. You know, I'd also like to say that we presented it to the marketing firm that we use at the hotel, our independent individual firm that does our website with us, and showed them a few of the different logos from the previous meeting, and they again, you know, everybody jumped on board on that particular company and said the logo that we're hoping to pass today would definitely be the way to go. You know, it shouldn't speak to us as Atascadarans necessarily. I think we should give our feedback and our input, but I think it should more so speak to the people that we're trying to bring to this area, such as the folks from LA, Bay Area, things like that. And that's about it. I have no questions. That's just the statement that I have. But I love the logo. I think it stands out. I think it's bright. I think it's progressive. And I think it's fun. That's all.
Very good. Thank you for your input. And I believe you are representing the Holiday Inn Express. Okay. Of course you are.
And I'm Dina Alexander, manager of the Carlton Hotel.
Yes.
And I have to say, and I said this at our first meeting, that logo gave me goosebumps when I first saw it. And I think of it from a standpoint of if I'm going down 101 or going up 101 and I saw that, I would say, you know what? I'm going to get off and see what that Simply Genuine means because I want to get to know those people. So I think from a tourist standpoint, and that's what I deal with day in, day out, I think it speaks to them. I think it's brilliant, and I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other TBID board members? Not that you can't speak later, but I want to give you an opportunity up front. So apparently we only have two hotels in Atascadero. I sure wish we could mention another, but apparently that is it. I can't talk Best Western J.P. Patel for anything to get up here, but that's okay. Thank you for being here. I will just add my input as a TBID board member myself that I like the reflection back to Caldero in our roots. I like the Simply Genuine, again, because I think that fits a lot of the story we were telling, being someone who lives in a 100-year-old apricot orchard originally planted by E.G. Lewis, and that's a theme we want to go with ourselves. So I think it's right on track. So thank you. I'm going to open it up to the general public now, and anyone, please share any questions you have. We'll get them answered, or thoughts or suggestions. Welcome.
I'm Barbara Combs, 6280 Palma. I've been in business there for 15 years, since 1995, and participated in every event, the Winter Wonderland, every art and wine. And I really like this logo. I like the colors. I think they're very updated. But for me personally, what has attracted business is doing the videos that I spoke of earlier and getting very high ratings with Google because of the YouTube video. And my average client comes from out of town by appointment as much as 100 or 200 miles. So I'm doing my part in putting Itasca on the map. Doing high-quality videos with YouTube, I have perfect strangers every day that call me because of my internet presence. And it's through, honestly, it's through YouTube. It's through videos that people Google. And when you have high rating with that, you're just way up in the search engine. And I wish I could say it was all the events for the downtown. That's been a great synergy. But that's why I'm saying let's push forward and getting Atascadero to start recording some of these amazing events, starting with Colony Days, the dunk tank. You know, I want to see a video of the dunk tank. We can get our name on there. We're paying lots of money, which is, I'm all for that. But I also think we can do our part as a city to take videos and just encourage that every video posted has the name of Atascadero and just do a mass campaign of showing fun family events. And I didn't see the holiday walk there, and that's become a 17th annual family reunion weekend where people do come. They call me, you know, we're planning our whole family early Christmas. And so we really want those 2 and 3 day events, but we need videos of recording it and fun ways of, you know, Twittering the videos and catch lines and all that. That's how I've been able to sustain in Atascadero. It's through videos. I get over 1,000 hits a month, and I get calls every day, and they're from perfect strangers. They can't say the name, but they want to come to the city and do business with me. So this is a cheap, free way for us to really, really get our name out of Atascadero, along with the pretty colors and the logo. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor and Council Members. Linda Hendy, Atascadero Chamber of Commerce President. Many of you know, I'm not sure if you know, this has been a very, very long process. Prior to even the 14, the TBIDS has seen many marketing firms show different examples of marketing our town. And really, I see the progress that the Council has made in the last year has just been incredible. With the hiring of a professional like Terry, I just see high hopes for our town, really pulling it together, a class act. You can already see the difference that we've experienced in town. I think when it comes to a logo, we've seen a lot of logos. I've helped create or judge a lot of logos. But really, there's going to be likes and dislikes of a logo, always. You're never going to get a 100 consensus of, I love that logo, I love the colors. So I really urge you to move forward with that great marketing plan so that the city, we can enjoy all the successes of ahead of us that we have and not really get too hung up on the logo, because I think you hired a great creative firm that is going to bring that basic logo into some great marketing graphics. And I think we have a lot to look forward to. So I'm really urging you to move forward with this proposed marketing plan in the current logo. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
Well, I think, are we there?
I think you've heard a lot of support today for this logo, and I do think, you know, it calls out a lot of things, key, that readability, the throwback to the experience that people are going to have here, that little taste of history. I think that's a really nice piece as well. And then, you know, I think through what you've heard everyone talk a little bit about, it really does serve a lot of those needs. Even back to the video, this is a logo that you can slap on any video, and people can read that, and even when they see that for a snap 2 seconds, they're going to walk away, hopefully with one more impression of Atascadero, one more step closer to making that decision that we are their next destination of choice. So just really commend you. I have been through this logo process with a few destinations now. It is never an easy one, but it is definitely a very important, critical piece to giving your tourism collaborators the tools to move forward and make sure that they can work on your behalf to help put Atascadero on the map.
And did you state your name for the record?
That helps a lot, doesn't it? Amanda Diefendurfer with Big Red Marketing. I work with the Atascadero T-Bid.
And another T-Bid, I understand.
I also work with the Travel Pass Robles T-Bid, so you guys took a quick look at our logo up there as well, which was the process that I've been through.
And she can still laugh about it. Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
All right, thanks, guys. Nick Mattson, 8440 Paseo de Caballo. Longtime resident, and be remiss if I didn't come up here and say something. I know there's been a lot of energy about this logo. I do think you guys picked a great color today to show off the color palette. Heather, nice shirt. I was riding home with a longtime member of Atascadero, and he said that he was talking with another strong member of this community. So we're going away from and losing sight of the orange that represents Atascadero in a big way around here. So kudos to the city council for picking that particular color scheme. Kudos to you guys for picking that. That was good. I think that the big picture, the logo, while it did take a harsh ride through social media over the past month, for 3 weeks, and if I was going to say you can't please everybody, 90% a disapproval rating for that particular logo when shown with just a random selected opposition is pretty strong evidence for maybe another look at what you guys are choosing. And what was up there today. I think that sitting in the strategic planning meeting on September 25th, what I saw and what I came away with is that it reminded me of when my child needs to go to bed. I give him two choices. I say, do you want me to carry you to bed or do you want to walk to bed? And he says, oh, I'll walk. When given two choices, we tend to select the least undesirable. We do that with presidencies. We do that in a lot of ways. I think that there was a strong voice for Atascadero from Atascadero on social media. I know Tom O'Malley shared it, Heather Moreno shared it. The logos that were presented at the strategic planning meeting, they really didn't fly locally. Of course, we've heard we shouldn't really worry about that. We are not trying to attract Atascaderoans to Atascadero. We're looking for tourism, and that's a great point. So I'd be remiss if I didn't come up here and talk about that. I know there's a lot of energy behind that. I think that the comment section that I was following most closely was about 250-4 opposed to that Caladero logo and the Simply Genuine phrase as a representative of what Atascadero is. So I just wanted to make sure that was on record, that we all have seen. I know there's more than just me in here who've seen that, so I wanted to make sure that I was able to put that out there. But I think great job, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Welcome.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Greetings to the mayor and council. My name is Marie Roth. I am a rural Templeton resident. However, I am an Atascadero Main Street board member. I am an Atascadero Chamber ambassador, and I'm formerly was membership developer with the Chamber. I do have one question regarding the calendar that you guys were going to be working together with the Community Alliance, and wanted to make sure that I mentioned the Atascadero Chamber's very comprehensive calendar that you can go to and get, you know, a lot of the information about what's going on. So I would hope that they would also be included in that. Okay, so I am guilty of having a cynical view of Atascadero pretty much my whole life because I didn't have any clue as to what the history was of how Atascadero came to be. So I'm very thankful for my time that I spent working at the Atascadero Chamber, especially during the 2013 centennial celebration, because I was able to get educated as to why and how this purposefully designed community came to be. So, you know, and I'll just kind of give you a brief idea so that you can understand what I understand. In my understanding, was originally designed to attract all different kinds of people and cultures from across this nation to come together and create a community of diverse culture. And what we need are the people and the residents to assist us with that, learning a little bit more about the origin of Atascadero and what the original intent was. And I believe that we absolutely have it, absolutely love the logo. It reminds me of that Americana. It, just by looking at it, it says to me, "Ooh, hey, I want to go see what they're restoring over there." I'm kind of a big fan of restoration of old things to make it new but yet rustic. So with that, what I'm going to say here is, yes, I believe that Atascadero is Americana. I believe that the logo is something that we should be moving forward with. And in keeping that in mind, what as part of the Atascadero Main Street Association, I feel that our residents need to become a little bit more educated as to what our history is. So tomorrow morning at 9:30, we are going to invite you guys to come to coffee at the Carlton. And we're going to attempt to create a public forum where we can educate the community that lives here about its history and the people that are here doing business and the people that have come before us. We can learn a little bit about them. So hopefully we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9:30. I know it's short notice, but that was by design.
Thank you. Any other speakers? I will close public comment, bring it back to the council, and we'll start going into some council discussion. Now we can do more than questions and offer some thoughts. But a number of comments were made of various aspects. Would Ms. Banish, would you like to address any of those brought up by the public?
Yes, I'd like to do that. In reference to the video, we are doing quite a bit of video now on our Facebook page. It does get a lot of likes and a lot of momentum. We can also look to the YouTube video. That definitely is a platform that we can do some advertising on. It can be very targeted and very specific under our digital platform, and something we can definitely look at what that would be. The other item I wanted to address was in regards to the logo on Facebook. It was voted on out of context with everything else. So that being said, we had to keep in mind that we had to, you know, look at the job that the logo has to do, and we have to go back into making sure it's aesthetically pleasing, it's quick, you can quick read on the freeway as you're driving by, those type of things. And one of the reasons why the second logo that we had with the scrolls with Visit Atascadero on the trees was kind of, you know, put aside as not the one we wanted to focus on because there was a lot going on in that logo. So it's a lot of good energy on Facebook. We definitely appreciated all the feedback that was out there because it you know, again, when you're not having all the pieces, it's a little bit more difficult to look at that. Another item, I think I had gotten it all on the calendar. We are looking at the Chamber's calendar. to make sure that's a major calendar to, you know, include. So thanks, Marie, for that. But wanted to make sure that we, that you guys know. Matter of fact, Linda has two calendars. She has another calendar that she's, you know, told me about. So we got a very comprehensive calendar in the works. So feel good about that. And then back to Councilmember Kelly, I just wanted to let you know that on the outreach for events and outreaching to like a promoter or someone like that, we really want to do our homework first before we just turn it over that way. I'm kind of like, we would look at entertaining that because some of these events, like you said, the Concourse into Paradise with the Porsche Club is a little bit different. So, you know, we might need to look at certain events that might need more of that caliber, but I wanted to make sure that I would clarify a little bit more. Is that helpful?
You're doing a great job.
Okay, thanks. I think I tackled it all. Amar, though, hats off to you. Exactly. On the logo end of life, we're not looking at locally, we're really looking at the visitor aspect of this, and we have to kind of put our visitor and tourism hat on as well as appealing to our local and county residents. So that's a big deal. That's a big part of this. So
thank you. Well, I will add a little bit of history. No one has history in this room like JP, who's been focusing on this for some time. But years ago, when I was still chairperson for the Economic Vitality Corporation, a countywide organization that deals with regional issues, I'll remember when we did a countywide tourism study, and the elected officials were shocked, really, that we were being outspent a good 4-1 by other counties, Santa Barbara, Ventura, Monterey, our neighboring counties. And we thought we had a lot to offer as a county. And when you realize we were just simply outspent on marketing, and then you look at the multiplier effect that marketing can produce, that really led to a countywide effort with the countywide tourism business improvement organization, and now each city, and our city included, has a tourism business improvement district where folks in the industry that basically pay transient occupancy tax voted themselves to basically increase the rate so that funds could be set aside to focus on marketing. So we truly have a partner with cities. And this is true countywide. We have this discussion at countywide mayors meeting often about, okay, cities have a role, and we've got a logo and things that we're aiming on, and a parallel partner focused on bringing in folks into our community. And I think what's very good about Atascadero, more than other cities, is we truly have a good partnership. We've got Chamber here. I think every council member here knows what a great working relationship we have with the Chamber. Their business walk led to a lot of input that we are using on this very exercise. And the TBID organization is very much a partner. Somewhat of an impatient partner. I understand the frustration, but our city's role is to really, we want to be integrated. We want to bring everyone along and have alignment in our community to go forward with a solid base. And really, when these hoteliers talk about their interest in these things, they've got some skin in the game. They've got a lot of money invested in properties that if they fail, they will feel it first. So I think it's very important to take their input on this as well as the business community. So we thank everyone for their input. So we need community input. We also need the professional input, but we need our stakeholder input as well. And that's why it's taken a little longer, but I think our council really wanted all of that input, and I think we're at a point to move forward. I'm going to open it up to now any council questions or comments. Please, I'll just look to the lights, and anyone that has something to say, this is the time. Councilman Moreno, followed by Councilman Sturtevant.
I will say this night is a long time in coming. A lot of long hours, a lot of work that many stakeholders and many much staff time that's gone into this. Terry probably feels like she's been here 2 years and it's only been 5 months. I hope it's been a good 2 years for you.
So a lot of work, and we've always agreed on our desire for Atascadero and to be successful in terms of tourism promotion, but it's been kind of bringing the five of us together along with the community, and what exactly does that look like? And so I think with Terry, what you've brought to us has really pulled all of that together. You have done an amazing job, really, to think that we're here right now. I mean, we set out and said we wanted to be here on August 29th of last year and then even May of this year, and here we are. So it's very gratifying, and I'm very grateful that we're here. With regards to the logo, you know, you guys have heard us, and we've gone back and forth, and we haven't always agreed either. Here we are, and I like that old Caladero font. I'm maybe a little bit dorky in that way. I wouldn't even have minded using that font, but I think what you've done has taken a really nice transforming that to be a little bit more modern. I do love the color palette, so that is wonderful. I will say to the social media, I agree with Terry on the context issue. I also agree there are other good options, right? You could pick many, and it's hard when it's out of context. It's pulling everything together and knowing, again, what the logo's job has to be. It doesn't mean there aren't other good options, but I do think this is the best option, and so I'm willing to move forward.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant, followed by Councilman Fonzie.
Well, first I want to say I am so thankful that Terry's on board with us. Thank you, Terry. Just outstanding job, the plan, the energy, the passion. Just thank you. Now, it's been the traction, getting traction in this area has been hard. And just the fact how far we've come in such a short period of time. It when I look at this logo, first of all, I love it. I just, there's something about the more historical, older Caldero type font where it's moving forward, but then you have the Visit California, which is just, there's just something about the way that comes together that just really stands out to me. But I see that it really has been a transition and it's been a process that we've all gone through to get to this point. And that's also what we've done as a community, because the alignment that we have right now with the different groups, you know, Chamber and TBID and just volunteerism and everything that's going on in our community right now, we are really aligned, and that is powerful. So, you know, whether there'll never be a logo that everyone will agree 100% on, but there is something that we all agree on, is that we all want the same thing for Atascadero. We want us to prosper. We want us to succeed, and we're all rowing in the same direction because we are in alignment. So I really like this logo. I like the color palette, and can go forward. I can go forward with this, and as we go forward, we're all going in the same direction, and that's exciting. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This has been a long process for all of us, and for some of us without a marketing background, it has been difficult to find the right path. Atascadero hasn't always done marketing. We've been left behind by neighboring cities. Paso Robles in particular, as we go down the freeway, we see the things that they've done for their advertising and for their billboards, and we are lacking in that regard. And they're passing us by on the freeway, and we're not getting the trade that we really should and do deserve. I don't know if this is the best logo that we could do. I appreciate your comments, Matt, when you came up. I know that there has been some disagreement on whether it was the best logo, but I think it's a good logo. I think it's a readable logo. I think as we go down the freeway, this is something you can actually see, unlike the ones that we see now on our billboards that are very small and say, visit atascadero.org, and you can't read it if you're driving by. I really can't say that I don't tune it out myself, and as a city council member, I should not. I like the colors in this. I think Atascadero is an orange and gray city. You know, we are proud of our heritage with our Greyhounds. We're proud of our sports background and our history. The colors are fresh and they're vibrant, that we can make this go someplace. We're going to be seeing something brand new and different, and there will be those that don't like brand new and different. They like older and staid and familiar. But I think it's time to move forward. I can vote for this.
Thank you. Any other council comments or questions? Then on that, I will move staff's recommendation to adopt the draft Visit Atascadero logo and color palette and adopt the draft marketing plan.
I'll second.
I will give that second to Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, and thank you all for working with us. Next item on the agenda is committee reports. We should go through these fairly quickly. I'm just going to go ahead and we can, if you would like, let's merge them together again as we've done before. Any announcements you have or reports and committee reports, I think they'll be fairly brief. I'm just going to go down in the name order that we have on the agenda. And so I will go first. We will have our City Schools Committee coming up, and two things I was planning on really emphasizing the discussion about bicycle paths, bicycle plans, and there's a lot of potential for us in moving ahead in that area. I would also check in with the chief if that's a time maybe where you might want to give an update. At our City Schools Committee, you can talk with the city manager about that and decide if that's appropriate yet or not. But I think we do want to work towards some public discussion about how we respond in these situations. And I think, again, you've just done an outstanding job, and we want to support anything that you've learned in this if we can do better. So whether we have that as part of the City Schools Committee next, or we just save that for a council presentation, I'm going to leave that with the city manager. The County Mayor's Roundtable. A number of topics came up. One kind of came up out of the blue, so to speak. There's the Shumash are working towards bringing let me get to my notes here and get it correct. Shumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary that is being proposed. And this came to my attention earlier. The tribe wanted to come to each council and make a presentation. I brought it up with you, and you agreed with me. I'd kind of like to hear what Morro Bay Council came up with on this, because it has significant impact in other areas on the fishing industry as well as tourism. And so we waited on that. Morro Bay has asked for some questions to be answered as well in terms of how this has worked in other areas and just what the implications would be. Well, apparently the national organization has moved ahead and kind of granted the next step, which was a surprise at the mayor's meeting that this is moving forward a little more. And so everyone has some concern, and it will be coming back to public input, and there probably will be coming something to council, as well as we want to hear Morro Bay's input. And I don't know, I'm going to ask if the city manager wants to add to anything I'm saying. The reason we care, of course, not only is this an issue in Morro Bay with the impact on fishing and tourism, it's broader than just the ocean. It also impacts any water traveling to the ocean, much like the Regional Water Quality Control Board looks at all tributaries within a water basin. This has some significant impacts to farming and other areas, and there's a number of organizations have some concerns. So it is something we may want to weigh in, and that's why I bring it to your attention. We'll probably, since we've appointed Roberta Fonzie as our lead on water issues, I'm going to recommend that Roberta and I attend the Morro Bay Council meeting. It'll probably hear some of this first, because I'd like to hear their input before presentations made to our council, that maybe we can be more prepared. But just so you know, it's coming our way, and it does have an impact on us where you wouldn't think a marine sanctuary issue would. So I just bring that to your attention. Integrated Waste Management Authority, we will continue with some meetings. I'm surprised we didn't hear about styrofoam tonight, but that will be a topic coming up countywide, and we should have people coming at public comment, at least speaking individually. And there's a couple of items I wanted to mention that are coming up on recycling, and I want to use this as an opportunity to say I think we're going to have to be proactive. I've kept in touch with our integrated waste management folks in looking at what do we do in replacing our recycling center. And, of course, we're actively trying to get the state to move faster. They have a 90-day period. You laugh. I know I should laugh, too. But it's a challenge. But I think in addition to that, I think we need to engage all of our potential partners and revisit with waste management and with some of the businesses that this impacts. And so I think I'm just going to encourage staff to let's look in all aspects of this and make sure we're considering every option that we can. One such option, I'm going to actually ask Councilwoman Moreno to speak on briefly, because we were up at the League of California Cities, and Brian and I and Heather had a chance to meet with some folks that are involved with mattress recycling and bed recycling. The reason this is important to our community is there happens to be a state funding that helps with this. Currently, our residents have to pay a substantial amount, and there's some alternatives. So, Heather, you were kind of instrumental in taking this, getting it started. Could you elaborate a little bit, and what do you see maybe happening with that?
Sure. It's the Mattress Recycling Council that was at the League, and so got to talking to him. It's one of those things where it almost sounds like too good to be true. There's no cost associated with it for the resident, for the city, you know, really for the most part. Of course, I'm sure staff cringes every time I say there's no cost to the city, because always a little bit of time involved in something. But it's a program that's going to be starting December 30th, so really for all intents and purposes in 2016. And so Marcia has already been in contact with the program coordinator that I met with at the League, and we are going to be starting with our trash day that we do twice a year, where people can bring mattresses there, and they'll be recycled, and the Mattress Recycling Council will come and take those. And I believe, Marcia, he's also going to be speaking with the local mattress retailers about their programs as well, because I know if you get a new bed, often you're having to, you know, pay to have your mattress taken away, or you have to pay to take it to the dump. In this case, you know, twice a year when we have our trash day, residents could bring it at no cost, and it will be recycled, which is the real benefit. But if we can also talk with some of the local stores about taking it away, maybe it still costs you, and that's fine because you don't want the hassle of it, but to know that they'll be recycling it could be a real benefit. So I'm really interested in where this could go and excited about something that, again, appears to be a no cost and maybe a little bit of time.
Thank you. And also on the Council of Governments meeting, we did have a small board. A number of folks could not attend it, and it dwindled down. I was one of the last remaining survivors. I think we got down to 7 out of 12 at some point, just keeping a quorum. A couple of issues. I think one, of course, the state funding for infrastructure is a major concern to everyone. I think the good news is it's so bad that something has to change. And it really was one of those things that the state kind of admits that they just neglected to get to the topic of road maintenance and funding of infrastructure. It really is incomprehensible how we got to this position at the state level, but so many counties and cities are up in arms about this that I'm somewhat hopeful something will happen in the next year or two, but that doesn't help us meanwhile. And so I think it's something that, you know, we are working hard at. The one thing that kind of came up as an aside, coming out of public comment, we had a number of folks come that were not only concerned about the one of the solutions, which is looking at increasing sales tax countywide for infrastructure. There's kind of a concern in general with how the state approaches finance of just, you know, adding fees or fines or raising taxes, and we don't necessarily, you'd think, many times we voted for something and we thought it was going to go somewhere, and it went somewhere else. And we've had this discussion on so many topics, and so more and more folks are saying we need to take a stronger stance, as we have with League of California Cities, on having things very protected. And a number of folks in the community are coming to organizations such as ours and really wanting to know what is our position, for example, on Prop 13 and on sales tax initiatives at the state level. Do you want to lower the ability to have a statewide initiative? And so I think we can expect folks coming here at some point, and I think we'll just have to address that either individually or collectively. But it is something folks are very concerned about, because as the state really abdicates its role of spending the funds in the way that really the citizens expected them to, and then say, well, you can go raise some more money somewhere else, well, what's the guarantee it's going to go where it needs to go? And those kind of issues is going to be a big topic, I think, in the next year or two. And not much on Regional Transportation Authority. And I will turn it over to Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Nothing really to report on in terms of committees. I do just want to encourage those of you, as Principal Bailo, like I'm a student, Chris Bailo came to speak about the reality tour with Lighthouse. If you are interested, lighthouseatascadero.org is the website. It is coming up this Monday, the 19th, 5 to 7 at the Pavilion. I've been through it. I think some other council members have. Dry eyes don't exist during a good part of this. And as he said, very valuable. Please look into that. And that will be all.
Thank you. Councilman Fonzi.
Thank you. No committee reports. I have several I'm going to this week, but nothing quite yet. I have some concerns, particularly about traffic, and I'm not sure whether to address this to the police chief or perhaps over to Nick DeBar. I know the gas company is doing some work in town, and it has to be done, and we support that, but the way that they're parking their vehicles is often at the intersections, and they barrier them off so that you can't turn right or go straight. There's a one-way tunneling, particularly at the intersections, and it's piling up the traffic, particularly at Curbrill. If one of you could take a little ride down there sometime, maybe tomorrow or the next day, and see what I'm talking about. We're having tremendous traffic issues because of just the place that they're parking their heavy equipment. And so I think they can do better. And I see traffic hazards. People are getting very impatient. The businesses are really having issues getting people in and out of the dry cleaners or the bank or the Jiffy Lube. It doesn't have to be this bad, I think. I think we can perhaps tell them a better way to go at it. You guys are the pros, but please take a look at it. It's not good. I have some concerns about the recycling center. I appreciate you bringing that up, Tom. I've had a lot of input from people who are in business, and they're not happy with the idea of the recycling center going away, and I'm not happy about it myself. I feel like we need to revisit this, and I don't know whether this would be something that the council needs to put on an agenda, or we could decide at this point in time that we'd like to meet with Waste Alternatives to bring this topic up again to see if we can find another solution. So I'm just laying that out on the table. If we can bring this back, I know there are jobs that are going to be going away for people who need those jobs in our community that buy things here. There are people who go there because they recycle things that help them to live and have enough money for food. It's a very important part of our community, and we can't let this go without a fight.
So thank you.
For what that's worth, let's lay that one out. I had some concerns about something I read in the newspaper, and this would go to our city attorney, and this is regarding our governor, who has signed a bill that is making marijuana sales more uniform throughout the state. This would be marijuana standards for sales. I think it's pesticide use. It has many aspects that I don't know about. It was a brief article. But I have a feeling it may have some overarching application for small cities like Atascadero, telling us what we have to do and can do. And we already have some things about marijuana sales that we've already decided on, but they may have been overridden. So I was wondering if you, Brian, if the other members of the council would agree, can just give us a quick brief look over and see if we're still okay with what we've passed in the past.
I'll be glad to do that.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilman Sturtevant.
Yes, the Design Review Committee will be meeting tomorrow. We have two things on the agenda, some for signage, and another one is some lot line modifications, and I believe floor plan modifications for a small subdivision up on the north end of town. Homeless Services Oversight Council, they've come out with the final time and count report, and I believe they're going to have some more meetings on that to see how to address that, that they don't feel that their numbers are really accurate for what's going on. In regards to the recycling, I too have been quite concerned about the recycling. I know a lot of people in town who have contacted me, and probably the rest of you too, who are very concerned about it. And with the permission of the city manager, I have contacted our garbage people here in town, and this is not a done deal. They are very open for further discussions, and I do have an appointment with them next week to meet with one of their top persons, and the lady, I forget what her name is, and they do want to stay in town. I think we can put this together. It's a benefit for everybody, not only in Atascadero, but the whole North County. It is by far the best recycling center of everywhere, because if we don't have that, I mean, they take the oil and everything, and the other ones aren't going to do that. So anyhow, that's on my agenda. I'll be leaving out of town on my own to meet them halfway along the way. The other thing I have of some concern, not only being a member of the city council, being on the finance committee, and also being just a plain taxpayer in Atascadero, is I've been informed that five members of employees of this city are making plans to go back to Wisconsin to take a look at our fire truck that's been overhauled. That doesn't look good to me. I don't think that five people are required to go back and look at a fire truck that's been overhauled. The costs are going to be enormous. I can see sending one engineer, a captain, or two people back. I know it's big piece of equipment that had some work done, and you know, obviously it needs to be looked at. I've bought large pieces of equipment myself, and you do have to do kind of a walkthrough inspection like a house. Tonight is not the night to really openly discuss it because it's not an agenda item. I would like to see it come back to the city council with a full breakdown of the actual cost of what it's going to cost to pay these employees, the per diem, the travel time, overtime that might be required to fulfill their positions while they're out of town, and actually what the justification is in sending five people back to Wisconsin to see a fire truck. I know when we bought the bigger fire truck, there were 9 trips made back there, and at the time I tried to ascertain what the cost was, and those numbers were never provided to me. I've mentioned this to several people in the community, what they think, and they're aghast that is the way that the city is spending money. Now, if there's a justification to it, I would like to look at that, and I want to see some numbers with it. So I would like to have that possibly come back as an agenda item at the next city council, unless it gets resolved that only one or two people want to go. And I don't think it's open for a discussion tonight because I want to see some numbers and everything with it, if the balance of the council agrees with me.
Thank you. Anything else, Councilman Kelly? Councilman Sturtevant.
Well, that's interesting, Bob, because actually a little bit of clarification just in that realm is I've actually purchased 2 brand new fire engines for my company. And as part of the price of the engine, that was the cost of going back to the plant was actually included in my case. And it was there because there's 3,000 line items and a lot of there's a lot of work that goes on to actually going through the repairs and things that are done at the with the vehicles at the manufacturer. So it's actually a very important part of the trip is that The employees are there to be able to vet out what is being asked to be done and that it's done correctly. So, anyway, just from my personal experience.
No, I fully agree that we should send one or two people back there.
Let's anyway, don't have a discussion now. Go ahead, Councilman Sturdivant.
The 1st of October, Tom and Heather and myself went to the League of California Cities annual convention in San Jose, along with the opportunity to network with other cities. There was probably 400 cities there represented. The opportunity for the mattress recycling and the learning and the classes was outstanding. And also to answer your concern about marijuana, there is actually three strong bills that the league was, they believe the governor was going to sign to give us as cities a lot more local control over medical marijuana. And it will require a state license and a local license. So there is going to, the league has been working on that all year to get that bill. And I will find out if that has been signed or not, because it will, I think it may have been. Yeah. So anyway, yes, that is being worked on. And also the league is also looking forward to the possibility in 2016 that recreational marijuana may be on the bill, on the ballot. So that this is a solid structure of a bill which has been put together by police, fire, and all these other groups that have worked together with the league. So they are working on that, and it's in process. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Well, let's circle back. I'm going to ask staff to address some items, and I'll start with the some of the waste management issues, and then maybe the chief or city manager want to address some of the fire department issues. But again, I think it's important, Councilman Kelly and everyone, that we work together as a team. We do have folks assigned and the council on particular areas, and I have been working with a number of folks regarding some of the waste management issues. So I think it's fine if you want to talk with folks individually, get some information yourself. I think that's something that all council members should do if they choose to. But we need to have a planned approach to this. And I think I'm going to look to staff to continue to work with me as we talk with integrated waste management, as well as waste management and some of the other providers. And we're really negotiating with looking for a solution, because obviously it's required by the state that the grocery stores who receive funds for recycling provide a service. I would look to them to be a partner in this, as well as the state needs to be a little more expeditious, and I think there's room. I know I've talked with waste management, high management, as well as local, and you know, I think there is still some room, but we need to work at it, everyone together on that. And I think it is a very good, it is the best center in the county. They do more than any other recycling is going to be. We just knew there was a cost issue, but I think we're still working on that. So we'll just keep working together on that and ask staff to kind of take the lead on that, bringing stuff back to us. I think this is issues as far as decisions, how we manage our resources is under the purview of the city manager with department heads. I think it's legitimate to ask questions. Councilman Kelly has raised some questions. I think Councilman Sturdivant's had some experience that helped with that a little bit. But I think certainly staff could respond to some of the key issues raised and then perhaps come back with a more in-depth at your discretion in the future. So I'm going to ask city manager, what would you like to do in response to Councilman Kelly?
Absolutely. I think that Chief Stone, if he could probably address a lot of this, this is something that, as Councilmember Sturdivant has said, it is part of the process of buying a fire truck. There are a lot of things that you do need to check at different points in there, and it is a critical part. Chief Stone has gone back there more than once for our different apparatus and can tell you a lot about what goes on there that night. I do not have the numbers of exactly what it is that we do pay for time for the people that do go back. It will depend on who goes back on the trip. We do not pay for per diem or hotel or any of those other costs. And so I'll let Chief Stone talk a little bit about this.
You know, I think my suggestion at this point is, if it's going to become more discussion on it than there's already been, is that perhaps we can bring this back to your next meeting for
further
discussion.
Let me check with Mr. City Attorney, since much like if we had a question raised at public comment, staff just answer the question. I don't expect any more discussion by council. If the chief could just address, at least preliminarily, as much as the chief can keep it short. And then I would welcome, as Councilman Kelly suggested, just bring it back, if possible, to the next meeting where we could have discussion, because we can't really discuss it. But I think just addressing the questions, if the city attorney thinks that would be allowed, I think that would be wise.
I would say if the chief could keep his comments brief, and if it's going to be something that requires some further elaboration, that it come back at a future meeting.
Yes. So, Chief, you got your marching orders.
All right. Brief and the fire chief. I don't know that they go hand in hand, but it will make an attempt. Councilman Kelly brings up great questions. Like Councilman Sturtevant said, when you buy a fire truck when you buy a fire truck from Pierce, they require that the staff come back on what's called a pre-build trip. So in the planning phases, before you even agree to build the fire truck with them, you're required to come back on site at the plant so you can look at all the options, the different trucks. If you buy one truck, its impact compared to buying another truck. Then you're required to come back at midpoint, and then you're required to come back on a final. The build specifications for the latest engine we just purchased is a binder that's normal binder size. It's about 2.5 inches thick for the specifications that were used to build that fire truck. Part of the refurbishment is a midpoint inspection and then a final inspection on a refurbishment. As Mr. Kelly pointed out, there's plenty of work that is done on the refurbishment, but from a pre-planning or planning the truck's construction, it's not needed. I will also advise the council that the latest fire engine that we had built, we chose, and our staff said, hey, we think we can be more efficient and cost-effective and not go back for the pre-build, because we wanted the new engine to be built as similarly as possible to the existing 75, 91, and 92. So we chose to have a pre-build conference in my office. It took about 9 hours, one day, and we, in essence, matched the specifications from our previous engines to the new engine. And so we actually saved whatever the cost of that trip would have been with Pierce. And again, as the city manager described, the food and lodging is included in the purchase price when you contract with Pierce. As far as not going back on a midpoint and final, I don't know that we have an option. And the one last thing, as an old training officer, I'll put my 2 cents in. Nothing is more important than getting firefighters, and in my opinion, the city manager and the finance director, and previously when we had an assistant city manager, getting those decision makers that have contact with the council and educate the council on the purchases and the elaboration or complexity of purchases, so the council can better understand why we buy what we buy and how complex those pieces of equipment are. And so I previously took the assistant city manager and the city manager back on the final for the truck and the two engines, and I took our finance director back on the final on the existing engine we have, and it was my recommendation that the city manager go back with us on the final of either the upcoming engine or the next refurbishment, because the educational benefit of being back in Wisconsin at the plant, talking to engineers, talking to the professionals that actually physically build these pieces of equipment, it can't be matched, duplicated, or replaced. And I think it provides for better city staff when we have that type of city management going back and evaluating these new pieces of equipment.
Thank you. And I'm just going to direct to staff. I agree with Councilman Kelly. It would be a good education for the council to have the opportunity for more, and we could have some discussion. Is it reasonable to have this on for next council, or do we need more time?
If you truly want a lot of detail about the types of decisions that are there and all of that, we will need some more time than that in a written staff report. If you're looking for just an oral information, maybe a little bit more time, presentation type of thing, then that is something we could just put the presentation. There would be no written staff report with that.
Well, and again, I'm hesitant to touch this too much because the city attorney is monitoring me on this, but I think I can suggest that we could agendize this for the next meeting just to allow discussion. I think we may be able to satisfy without a staff report if the chief was just freer to speak more and we were freer to ask questions. Then we could decide, do we need to do more? Would that be agreeable and advisable by a city manager and the chief and the city attorney?
I can say that you're doing what is indicated as it being appropriate to have it come back, and whether you have it as an oral presentation or a written report, it's however you want to ask the city manager, whatever format you'd like.
Yeah. So, Councilman Kelly, I'm just going to suggest we at least have it on the agenda.
Well, I think that's a good idea. Let's keep it simple. I'm sure the chief can come up with some numbers, travel time, and
good.
What have you.
As long as you're in agreement with me, I'm going to avoid, much discussion on that. And so I think then we'll go with that then. Thank you on that.
Mayor, I was hoping we could get some financials on this so we know if it was a great expense to go or really not.
Yeah. And I would also just suggest, I would like to kind of understand from the business's standpoint, because my understanding is they really want to shift the burden on to us, because this is a very expensive piece of equipment. It is also something that if we say, well, that's not what we said we wanted, they want to have that and not in their court. So that's why they absorb costs, because they want to have the safety decisions and financial decisions our court. But anything, why is it that this is the way we do business in this area, I think might be helpful for the council. Okay, I'll let that go and leave that with you guys to bring that back to us.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
I just want to make sure you have council consensus. A majority of you are wanting that back.
Thank you. I was trying to avoid even, is that acceptable, city manager, to ask for consensus?
I think you're
bring that.
Yes, absolutely.
I think, is that agreeable to everyone to let the chief have more time and we have more opportunity to have questions at the next council meeting?
Thank you.
And then from that, we'll determine if we need more of a report. Okay, I think we have consensus. And are there any other, no other council items, any other items from staff? Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.